gathered together from the cosmic reaches of the internet. Here in the basement of the Great Hall of Justice are the most powerful forces for good podcasting ever assembled. This is the DC Superpowers Podcast.
This looks like a job for Superman.
To the Batmobile.
My name is John Jones.
I am the Green Arrow.
Hey, super friends, welcome back to the DC Superpowers Podcast, issue number 84 for New Comic Book Day, December 6th, 2017. I'm one of your hosts, Ken Rose, and sitting along here with me in the basement of the Hall of Justice is my good buddy, Vern.
Hello, everybody. How you guys doing tonight?
Welcome back, Vern.
Yes, it was a while. You had a busy week.
You're not allowed to take any more weeks off. Recording by myself was weird.
You did really good. It was short, but you did really good. You were short and sweet.
I tried. But we are back. We are back at full strength. And
we have some new equipment, guys.
I'm making some adjustments.
Slow here.
To
we're
it.
Trying to work out some kinks, but we're back and got some new settings, so that's always good. We got a little upgrade. But Ken, how have you been this week?
I've been pretty good. This week was huge for comic books.
Yeah, it was. It was huge for TV show. It was huge for box office numbers.
Yeah.
We're still going up there.
We're still getting there. We broke the 500,000 mark.
Right.
For Justice League. Crisis on Earth X was this past week.
And the Doomsday
Clock. Doomsday Clock was this past week.
Yeah, they sold out.
And we still, they've gone back to the printer.
Yeah.
End of December, we're getting more Doomsday Clock.
Second print.
So, we're going to cover all of that this week. Plus, we have all of our regular news. We got to look at Robin this week.
Oh, yeah, guys.
We'll get on that in a minute.
Yeah, we'll talk to you about this new Titan show that's coming out.
Yeah. So,
where do we want to start tonight?
Well, we usually start in TV anyway, so why don't we go ahead and start with that new Titan show?
Oh, okay. Well, guys, Brandon Thwaites, we all knew, was going to play Dick Grayson. We didn't know if he was going to be introduced as Robin, stepping out of the mantle, or he's going to be just regular Dick Grayson as the cop or detective, stepping into the Nightwing mantle. But from what we got in this new image, and I actually heard on a Kevin Smith's podcast a week ago, he was talking about how he knew the guy that was working on the show, and he said, we would all love the costume. The costume looks really cool, and we finally got it.
Well, of course Kevin knows this guy because it's the same costume designer that they use with
Arrow.
That Berlanti uses for all of his other shows.
Right.
And Kevin Smith has directed multiple shows of all the other Berlanti shows.
So, making friends.
Yes.
Brandon Thwaites' new costume as Robin has been on the internet. I need to post this on our Instagram. How about I use that for our picture tonight?
We could do that.
So you guys will see. We're either going to use it for the picture for the episode, or I'm just going to put it up there so everybody can see. I think this dropped over the weekend about Saturday or Sunday. Now, Thwaites looks like the Newton 52 Robin did. He also really reminds me of Tim Drake.
Yeah.
The classic Tim Drake.
That's the costume does, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I was telling Ken earlier, I really don't mind this costume remind me of Tim Drake, because I personally think that Robin costume was the best one they had, and I think that should be the standard Robin costume for everybody, since they all are taking up the same mantle. There's really no need for you to have a big change in the costume.
Yeah.
But
it is weird seeing Dick Grayson with the staff, though.
Yeah, it's not really too weird for me, because in the Teen Titans show, he had a staff.
Yeah,
the
well,
cartoon.
But we were talking about this on Geek Watch 1, and over the past week, I've talked with a couple people that really the Teen Titans and Teen Titans Go Robin is an amalgamation of all the Robins.
Yeah, and
Because there are parts of all of them in it. He is Dick Grayson.
Right.
But he's got all the tech abilities of Tim Drake.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the attitude of a mix between Damian and Jason.
Yeah. And also, the way the costume looks in, what was that, Batman Arkham City? Tim Drake had a hood on there, and the only hood, Robin with the hood I knew was Damian Wayne.
Okay.
So I think ever since they've been putting out all these different Robins, every creator that makes a Robin costume or a suit, they always are going to be an amalgamation of everything they've known each Robin to be.
Yeah.
Which, as I said, I don't mind. You're taking up the same mantle. The costume shouldn't change too drastically. They all should have some type of similarity in there.
Yeah, they probably should. Especially since you're trying to aim at not just a comic book audience.
Right. We know the difference. We can spot out the Tim Drake suit, the Jason Todd suit,
the
hair, even a little different. Tim Drake and all the different ones, Damian. But some people just know Robin still to be just Robin, unless they really dive deep into the history and the lore of the Batman mythos.
Yeah, there's still a lot of people out there that
are comics fans.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't pay attention, or they, not that they don't pay attention, but maybe they don't read a lot of Batman
right.
or some of these other ones. And the only Robin they really know of well is Dick Grayson.
Dick Grayson, yeah.
Because you got to remember, Dick Grayson was Robin until, what, 83?
84, 83?
From 1940 or 41
yeah,
to, like, 83.
Gave up his mantle.
So, like, oh, 40, 43 years, somewhere in there, he was Robin?
Yeah, when him and Wally ditched the
No one else has been
gear.
Robin anywhere near that long.
No, he was the longest reigning Robin, and that's the one my parents know. It took my mom a while before she was like, oh, there's different Robins? I was like, mm-hmm. yeah, there's some female Robins, too.
Yeah, well, there were actually two, weren't there, if you throw in the
Stephanie Brown and,
Dark Knight Returns
yeah,
Robin.
I keep forgetting her name.
I don't remember.
I keep forgetting. But anyways, and I might be wrong, guys. If it wasn't Stephanie Brown, let us know. Facebook.
No,
us.
It was Stephanie because
was
it was a spoiler.
Yeah,
Stephanie
that's right.
Robin.
Okay. Well, that's what we got for Titans right now. And also, they put out some more stuff in the news, but we covered
They got
already.
Me on this. Did they get you on the teasers to start with?
No.
Because the first thing they put out was just the face with the mask. And that's
really?
All they put out. As the,
oh,
they
you
said,
know what?
This is
I
Robin.
Take that back. The first thing I saw was the R.
See,
it was
first,
on Instagram
yeah.
when I found. I was scrolling down my timeline.
On Twitter,
the
first
R.
thing they tweeted out was just the face with the mask. I'm like, dude, what? That's all we get to see is that he's wearing a domino mask? He's Robin. He better be
wearing a domino mask, right? So, we got some other news, but we already covered it. It was basically just the same thing we did at Comic-Con. It was about Roy Harper's character.
Yeah.
Well, they're confirmed now.
Remember? Well, no, they're not confirmed. Actually, those
oh,
are,
they're still, they're still.
If you look at that, that's actually the more, I think it's still another retake of the different character breakdowns.
It's still that? Okay.
Yeah. Then what it is different people are picking up at different mm-hmm. times.
Okay. Well, that's what we got. I saw that, and it was a different website. Mm-hmm. I thought it might be something new, but I'm saying we're not going to talk about it. We already covered it. If you want to check it out, check our Comic-Con issue, guys.
Yeah. But if you look at this costume, what they've shown here,
mm-hmm.
it looks like this has got a lot more leather to it almost.
Yeah. You know you got to put some leather on there. So.
Yeah.
It's a Berlanti show.
A modern superhero costume seems like, for TV or movies or anything,
yeah.
they're going for an armored look.
Yeah. I mean, on all the TV shows that they're putting out right now on the mm-hmm. CW, there's leather in every single show.
Well,
I mean, they're superheroes. They got to have some
I'm
type of leather.
I'm still waiting for Black Canary to get the fishnet.
Oh, I'm waiting for that. I'm just waiting for her and Oliver to get together. Forget the fishnet.
Wait, they can't. We'll get to that.
What?
Black Canary and Oliver can't get together on TV.
Oh.
Remember?
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
We'll get to there.
I don't know what you're talking about, Ken.
We'll get to that in Crisis on Earth X.
Yeah. But for now, I think, was that the biggest TV news that we had, actually?
No, we actually have
oh, we got one
more before we get to Crisis.
Yeah. If you guys are any wrestling fans out there, if you were back in WCW days.
Even if you're not, he's a big enough name now that I think just about everybody has heard the name.
Yeah, if you've seen movies, you have heard his name in there.
He's had multiple TV series also
yeah.
on, like, Travel Channel and things like that.
Wasn't he an evil Santa Claus, too?
It's possible.
I think
don't remember.
They'll go, well, I just said it. Well, I'm going to spill the beans. Guys, Bill Goldberg, WWE wrestler, currently a WWE wrestler, is going to be starring in the Flash series. We do not know which episode yet, but on Goldberg's Twitter account, he says, 2 episodes for my boy, #, I'm next. If anybody knows, that's what he would always say. That's, what was that, his?
Yeah, that was his catchphrase.
Yeah. So, Goldberg will appearing on the show. We don't know if he's going to be a villain or another
the
hero.
The hashtags they put on here, is that actually the name of the character?
I'm next?
No, Sam Shazad?
I'm going to click on
here.
It. One of us who
link.
Gets it first. Who is this
Or is that
guy?
Just someone's
that's some,
specific?
Yeah, some guy on
Okay, that's someone's
Twitter.
Specific. Yeah, Instagram.
Yeah, he's just a comic book guy. He's got a hashtag.
Well,
he's got at DC Comics, at
yeah.
Marvel, at CW,
and he does,
The Flash.
Well, this guy points out that Goldberg is not the first wrestler to actually show
no,
up on some
not.
Of these shows.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Edge appeared on a couple. If you want to go back to Smallville
there.
Days, we had Dave Bautista
mm-hmm.
and Kane on there.
Cody Rhodes has
Ashley
been on Arrow.
Was on
and
Smallville.
He's actually, Cody Rhodes, I believe, is supposed to be coming back this season for one episode.
Did you hear about him getting back in the ring against Stephen Amell?
Huh.
I think he did.
No,
that
no, no.
On the
I don't think
show.
It was. No, Stephen Amell got back in the ring, but I don't think Cody had anything to do with it.
Not at that time, but ever since they had their little beef in WWE for SummerSlam,
yeah.
they've been going back and forth with the whole Stardust and
well,
the Arrow gimmick. Now you just see Cody and Stephen Amell
yeah.
having something.
Well, if you follow Stephen Amell at all, you realize that he is a wrestling fan.
Oh yeah, he's a big wrestling fan.
He's been a wrestling fan for years, and his biggest thing, he was actually able to get in the ring at WrestleMania.
Yeah, well, it wasn't WrestleMania.
Well, no,
it was SummerSlam.
Yeah, SummerSlam. Okay.
Yeah, I thought that was just really cool to see them go at it. And the way you saw Stardust and Stephen Amell in the ring, because what was his move? Wasn't his move called? No, he teamed up with Neville, and his
yeah.
move was the Red Arrow, and he had Green Arrow with the guy that does the Red Arrow. I don't
yeah.
remember who Cody's tag team partner was, But, yeah, they've been going back and forth ever since. I'm pretty sure they're good friends now.
Oh, yeah.
But
so,
that's all a wrestler. And Edge played in the one last season for The Flash, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So, back...
No, Edge went back a couple of years ago, I believe.
Was that 2 years? Was that the...
You gotta remember, we're on season 6 for Arrow. So
no,
I'm
this
sure
was
exactly
this was Flash.
Back.
He was Adam Smasher.
Oh yeah, he was Adam Smasher. That was season 1, wasn't it?
That was season 2. That was season 2 because of Zoom. Because
okay.
Zoom was getting everybody's doppelganger.
Yeah.
I remember watching that over my buddy's Bill's house.
Dude, can you believe?
It's
We've had 4 years of Flash, 6 years of Arrow.
Yeah.
Of Green Arrow.
And 3 years
now. 3 years
of
Legends of Tomorrow. Legends of Tomorrow's on year 3 and Supergirl's on
year 3 too.
Year 3 also.
Yeah. Wow. And we started doing this on season 2 of The Flash, right?
Gotham's been on for 4 years now.
Yeah.
Oh my God. We have Black Lightning is coming in less than a month now.
And we are on season 4 of iZombie too.
We have a true Teen Titans TV series, live action.
Finally coming out.
Dude, everything's rolling up DC. And everything's rolling up comic books right now.
Yeah, it is. Like we said, it's a great time to be alive to be a comic book fan.
It's a great time to be a geek in general.
Yeah, definitely. We got so many good things coming out with these stories. But since we're into nerd culture right now, let's get into what happened on the crossover on Earth-X. This was my favorite crossover we've had thus far.
This was the best crossover as far as I'm concerned, the best crossover they've ever done on television for its series.
Yeah.
Because this was a fully integrated... This wasn't an episode of each show.
No.
This was a four-part movie.
Mm-hmm. And that was the best part about it. It was like they did the two shows in one night. I think it cut down a lot of people having to wait. Last season, it felt like I was just waiting for days.
Yeah.
Even though it was boom, 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 boom. This one,
well,
you get 2
last
hours.
Year, really.
Next day, you get
2 hours. The crossover was 2 episodes.
Yeah, it really was.
Supergirl, the last 5 minutes of Supergirl.
Mm-hmm.
A breach opens up to pull Supergirl in.
If even 5 minutes. It might have been like 2.
A breach opens up to pull her over to Earth-1. And Flash, you have the crossover episode was Flash.
Yeah.
Legends was a crossover episode.
Right.
The Arrow episode was their 100th episode, so really they couldn't give the whole episode over to the crossover.
Yeah, that was a little bit of a mixture of both what was going on the crossover and also dealing with Arrow. It was definitely still more so a crossover episode than what they had on Supergirl. Supergirl was really just her show. Last 2 minutes, it was like, oh, they're coming through the portal. Now we can go back in there. But this one was a full-on two-part movie to me.
Yeah.
You had 2 hours of each night.
Two hours each night.
God, to me, I'm like 2 hours for a movie about it.
To the point at which they did their title cards. They did not have individual title cards. Each one played the exact same Crisis on Earth-X title
and
card.
I thought that was really cool how they integrated every character into the show, into the opening credit scene. I thought that was really nice.
Yeah.
So therefore, I really forgot which one I was watching. If you told me now, I remember Supergirl was the first one. Now it's coming back to me, but it took me a minute to think. Because they all, to me, I wouldn't know. Flash could have been first. Supergirl could have been last. Legends could have fell in the middle with Arrow.
Well, the only one that actually changed its normal broadcast time was Arrow. Went from Thursday and actually played after Supergirl on Monday night.
Okay.
Other than that, Legends and Flash are normally on Tuesday night.
Okay. My brain, I didn't even know that. I was just watching the shows together.
This
I didn't pay attention
show opened
to
up with a couple
what.
Of huge, or not spoilers, Easter but
eggs.
Huge Easter eggs in there out of nowhere.
Goodness.
One is, did you ever get that picture of Guardian?
Yeah, I couldn't find it. It was still the dark. It was a dark.
Oh.
It was too dark on there. He still looks like he was in silver.
Well,
I saw the flag, though.
I'm trying to remember. The whole show opens with the Supergirl fight, doesn't it? Or does
it
start with the Arrow? It starts with Dark Archer.
Mm-hmm, when they're on
and
Earth
it's not
X.
even Arrow. He's Dark Archer.
I forgot his name. I tried to put him in our notes. I'm like, what is he? I'm just
calling
him
Evil
Arrow.
Yeah. He's the Fuhrer.
He's the Fuhrer.
He was the... basically the man in
charge
of
everything.
Nazi
Earth
X.
I thought that was really interesting. Same for like Batman and some things. If it's
now,
ever
you know
evil
why they
one,
didn't
he's
call
the
it
human.
Earth X, right? You didn't know that one.
I didn't know why exactly they call it Earth X.
Okay. The Earth X originally, there was a Nazi Earth in the multiverse way back in the day, and it was Earth 10.
Remember,
that was Earth X.
Remember when we first started going over this? I'm like, is this supposed to be Earth 10? I didn't know
it
the background
was originally.
For why, but I was like, maybe
this
that's
they modified
a
it and just
for.
Moved it outside of the multiverse and said, okay, well, this is an extra world called Earth X.
Okay.
And I believe this is one of the now. This has gone back and forth, up and down, in and out. I don't remember. Do you remember them ever mentioning before that there's only 52 worlds in the multiverse?
No, I don't. I think that's why when Harrison Wells told it, a couple of characters
Kara
were surprised
came up with
by
it too.
Yeah.
both of them were like, hey, there's 52 different worlds.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the first time I've heard a reference of the 52 worlds, I think, in all the series.
Yeah, same for me. I didn't know about that. I like how they're incorporating all these Earths into the comic books, right? Once again, DC, when if you see it in the comic books, you'll see it in the shows, too, it seems like, or the movies, because we're dealing with this whole dark multiverse.
Yeah.
And from that, we got to see all the other regular Earths that's not underneath.
The dark multiverse is making it so that DC can add more than just their 52.
Yeah. Well, I don't mind it. Just let us know that there was some 52
somewhere.
We have
at least 104 right now.
I would say let me get that 52 numbers tattooed somewhere on me, but by the time I probably ever get it, they'll change it.
No, because as soon as
you
do that, they're
going to change it. But the first thing that I opened up with was the Dark... What was his name again?
I think either Dark Archer or Dark Arrow.
Dark Arrow. I put Evil Arrow.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, the evil version of Oliver Queen was going at it with the Guardian. I like the callback they had to Guardian,
and
too.
This, I guess if... I haven't found it yet, but I heard that somewhere they have an actual picture of his costume.
Mm-hmm.
And his costume is blue and gold.
Okay, like I said, I'm trying to find it on here, but I
it is a much more beat-up version, and the shield is the American flag shield that Guardian had back in World War II.
Yeah, when the flag that he also had was American flag. I know in some of the books that Guardian appeared in, he did have a shield that was the American flag.
Yeah.
I thought it was really nice.
The more modern versions is just a straight yellow shield.
Right. I thought it was really good that since he's fighting the Nazis, he carries the American flag. I like how they threw that little Easter egg in there. And then as the show progressed, we got to see Evil Ollie kill Guardian. Because he's the leader of the Nazis in this world. And anybody that's going against them, they're going to take out. Well, now we go back to, I guess, our regular shows with the regular Earths that we are here, with Supergirl even being on her planet. And we got to see them go against a couple of characters we've seen from the past.
Yeah.
We got to see Kara fight a Dominator on her planet, which I thought was really cool. And
But during that Dominator fight, we get a couple of names out there.
Yeah.
They were talking about... her possibly, is she fighting a Helgramite?
Right.
Which we've had on the show before.
But it wasn't a Helgramite they were exactly
but
talking
Kara,
about.
Or Alex brings up that, well, maybe it's a Zarnian.
Yeah.
Now,
if anybody out there knows what a Zarnian is.
Everybody listening to this show knows what a Zarnian is.
You should know.
And they know there's only one Zarnian in the universe.
Because he killed the rest of his race.
Yes.
This is Lobo we're talking about. Now, since they just name dropped his race of alien on Supergirl, I'm waiting to see it now, Lobo, on the TV show.
It's a possibility that we'll see him, but this show has done this a lot of times. They'll name drop something, hoping to be able to pay it off later.
Yeah. Well,
how many times have we already heard Batman or Bruce Wayne references?
I was just getting to that one.
Themyscira was on Legends 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. And we've been referencing the Boy in Blue for a while now. Then we just got him last.
Yeah. Now we actually have seen. Seen him now.
And when they were also referencing, she was fighting a Dominator, she also referenced them to last year. She punches him, knocks him out, defeats him, and then she says, oh, these Dominators are so last year. I just started cracking up, and like, this was literally last year's crossover, was about the Dominators.
Also, I had forgotten that we had Metallo before.
Oh, yeah, when I saw Metallo, I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. We did see him on there.
They brought everybody back for
and
this.
And they brought Red Tornado back.
Yes.
We didn't get him until the second night of the crossover, but
well,
he did come back.
Well, we brought Prometheus, and by bringing back Prometheus, we got two episodes.
Yeah.
There were two different pullbacks by bringing Prometheus back.
Mm-hmm. He was
because it wasn't
two
Adrian
characters.
Chase.
No, he wasn't. On this world, well, we'll get to that in a second. Let's go also back to who the other characters were fighting. We had Barry Allen going at it, or the Flash going at it with King Shark.
Yes.
We had Arrow going out with some ninjas. I don't know what clan they were from.
They were just some ninjas.
And then we had Legend of Tomorrow basically referencing nothing but Robin Hood.
Yes.
And they're
they were Robin Hood basically.
Yeah. And they're all talking about, man, we got to get to this wedding. We're going to miss Iris and Barry's wedding. And Barry and Iris are talking like, yeah, stop fighting King Shark, make quick with him so we can get dressed. And they do. They go to the courthouse and it's it's all fun.
Mm-hmm.
Supergirl crosses over from her world and comes into ours. And at the wedding, we got to see one familiar face that we don't know yet. But as if anybody out there has caught it, if you look up on her Wikipedia or the IMDb, you'll know she's not listed as anybody.
She's listed as the caterer.
Or the caterer. Okay, on Wikipedia, she's not
referenced
as
yeah,
anybody.
On the IMDb, she's
the
as
caterer. Okay.
So everybody thinks they know who this is.
Yeah, this is us guessing, and I looked on the internet to make sure my guess was right, or at least somewhere along with everybody else's. If anybody knows, Barry Allen and Iris has twins in the future, and they're called the Tornado Twins. And one of the twins...
That's because they both have the...
Same exact powers as Barry does. And the name of the daughter is Dawn West. Now, she didn't have any name dropped at all in the show, but she just holds Barry's hand, and she's a caterer. Barry's getting a little weirded out by, why is this female just talking to me like she knows me? He's even like, do we know each other? She's like, no, we don't, but holds his hand and then says, make sure you say I do, and walks away real giggly and happy. And he's like, what
almost
the
like
heck?
She knows something has happened in the past.
Exactly. Or she
in
knows
her past.
Exactly what's going to happen. They're going to get married. And I think she was just there to see if she wanted to see her parents get married. Now, I don't know if she did this on purpose or got stuck there, but if she's anything like her father, of course she can time travel.
Yeah.
We didn't
see
the brother.
That's the one thing with this that you can, it makes sense that she would be there because the Flash is, time travel is such a large part of the Flash.
Oh, yeah. Thanks to Flashpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I thought it was kind of weird because I thought you weren't supposed to interact with your family or anything, or you're just not supposed to interact with yourself.
No, I don't remember. I think they could do any of that if they want.
I just remember from Jay Garrett, he was telling Barry, don't do that. It's safer not to do it.
There's a picture of her.
Oh, there she is. Oh, also the female, if you can pull up her name, let me know. If not, the actress that was playing Dawn West also played in Smallville, if you remember. Does she look familiar to you?
She did. When I first saw her, she looked familiar, so.
She played Plastique.
Oh, okay.
In Smallville about 10 years ago. Oh, my God, that was 10 years ago. wow.
See, for me, it doesn't feel like that long ago.
For me, it is, because I was a kid when
that
show
came out.
Yeah, you
were a little
kid. I remember when I watched the first episode when he stopped the bus, and it's crazy because, wow. Well, anyways, she played on that show before, so that was, I think, another little Easter egg, and she has played on the CW or DC mm-hmm. show before.
Well, we know that the CW recycles actors and actresses all the time.
I think DC does that in general. Look at everybody's played Superman.
Yeah.
If you played Superman once before, you're going to pop back in the movie somewhere else. We'll get into that in Justice League, I'll let you know. But as the show is also going on, we got a little reference from a Marvel character, too. They literally name-dropped him.
Yes. Well, they've been doing that in the last couple of weeks.
They have.
They've talked about the Hulk. They've talked about Spider-Man. They've talked about everybody.
Yeah. Stein and Jax, as everybody knows, if they've been watching Arrow, Legends and keeping up with it.
Here you go.
They've been
that's
trying to
separate.
A
little closer.
Okay.
I think. No, wait. That's not of Arrow.
I think that's on Supergirl. Yeah, Supergirl.
Yeah, so that's not it.
Whenever
I'm still looking for that Guardian picture.
Yeah,
sorry.
I want to find this. I found the comic book one, but not the actual show one. It looked like he was just in his regular gray. But as the show goes by, we get a little name drop from Spider-Man. Stein and Jax have been trying to separate the Firestorm character because Stein has a granddaughter now, and he's a little older. He wants to retire mm-hmm. from this whole superhero gig, so they're trying to separate. But as we find out in the show, Jax loves Stein like a father, and he doesn't want his father figure
to go
away.
But he's never told Stein this, so Stein didn't know this.
No, but we get to see that that tense eye contact he had. He's like, I thought this is what you wanted. I thought you wanted some power. So he basically said, you can stick to walls. He said, I can be like Spider-Man? He's like, not technically. You won't have superhuman strength or ability to heal or anything like that, but you can stick on walls. So he's like, I'll be the incredible sticky man or the spectacular sticky man or something like that. And he said, I thought this is what you wanted. He said, of course you would think that's what I want. And they walk away, and there's some tension in the room between them. But now everybody's sitting down. Oh, and this was really funny, too, what Heatwave, who he sat by.
Yes.
He sat by the captain of
Central
City.
Sits down and sits right beside Captain Singh, who has arrested him before.
Yeah, and he's like, we've met before, right? Shakes his hand, yes. I hate cops.
You can see the colors here a little bit.
And once he sits down, he shakes his hand like, yeah, we've met before, and I hate cops. And then Joe West's girlfriend comes in. What's her name
Cecile.
Again? Cecile comes in. He sees her and he's like, and I hate lawyers, too.
Yeah.
And they had another call back to previously was it this season? That was last season.
Which one?
They had the musical?
That was last season.
Okay.
That was the crossover with just Flash and Supergirl.
And that was referenced in this episode because he had Supergirl sing for him.
Yeah. And it was actually
the
same
song that he proposed
Barry
to.
And Iris got proposed to, yeah.
Exactly. I like how we called all these.
Uh-huh. Well, some of these I cheated a little bit because Miss Dawn over at Geekwatch 1 had it on her list, too.
Okay.
I mean, I caught most of these
I
when
did
I was
too.
Watching it.
This other one I didn't catch till I had to look this up, and we both caught this, too. Oh, also, before they get married, guys, at the rehearsal party or reception?
Yeah, the rehearsal dinner.
The rehearsal dinner. there's a couple. Well, I guess they don't really become a couple, but there's a hookup that goes on between a couple characters we know. Since Alex has just
One of them is not a surprise at all.
I'm trying to think, what's the other surprise?
No, it's not a surprise at all that one of the two would be
one of them. We
hooking up for one night stand.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And my mom saw the episode. She's like, why is she doing that? I'm like, Mom.
It's Sarah.
Yeah. I'm like, they time travel.
That's like, it's amazing because we're talking about Sarah and Alex.
Yeah.
Sarah Lance from Legends.
Yes.
And Alex Danvers from Supergirl. Supergirl's sister.
Now,
the funny thing is, she hooks up here,
mm-hmm.
but last episode, the episode with Helen of Troy, she didn't even take a pass at Helen, and Helen has these weird, like, supernatural ability to attract men.
Right.
Well, and Sarah didn't even give her the time of day.
That's probably why she didn't give her the time of day, like, whatever. You're good. But yeah, so in here we get to see them meet up, and Alex is still in grief, or not really griefing, she's just depressed because Maggie and her have separated now. Mm-hmm. They called off their wedding. But White Canary's always like, hey, you down for a couple of drinks? Let me get you a little loose here. So they hook up, and then in the morning, she's like, why is this earth so sunny? Don't they have clouds?
Yeah.
She's hungover.
No. The best part is Sarah no-sells the whole thing until she walks over there. And Kara's trying to figure out why
is Alex acting
was at all
so
night.
Weird.
Why
too?
Is she acting weird? She never came home. Where were you last
and
night?
She's stuttering like and then Sarah just walks. I'm like, hey, are you okay? Is your butt hurt? You fell out of bed this morning.
No. The way she says that, she just walks up and goes, "How's your butt?" And then Kara looks at what? and everybody watching the show says what? Because we saw it, it's like Alex had tried to sneak out of bed all sneaky.
Yeah,
like,
and as she sneaks out of bed, she falls right flat on
she
her
falls,
butt.
Yeah. So Sarah's like, I heard you fall and land on your butt this morning.
And the other thing funny was Heatwave, once again, he's drinking a beer and eating his cereal in the morning.
That's right.
And he has on a robe and the long socks on with the house shoes. Looks so goofy.
Why? No, he looked goofy because Stein's daughter, he was staying at the Stein's house.
Yeah.
And Stein's daughter told him it's not acceptable to walk around the house naked.
And he's eating his bowl of cereal. He's like, so I'm wearing your gown.
Yeah.
Oh, and you need milk. I love Mick. I just love him. Now they're at the wedding, and that's when everything I was saying before happens. And then this is where we see the man who's marrying them is actually a callback to another character.
Yeah, he is a superhero.
Yeah, not a DC character, but he was a superhero. If anybody remembers William Catt or heard of that name, he also played in The Greatest American Hero.
He was The Greatest
American
Hero.
Well, he was, yeah.
And actually, I have the first season of that on DVD.
Can I be honest with you? I've never seen that show.
You've never seen that show?
No, I've seen pictures.
Do you know what
I've seen the
show
logos.
Is? It's a
not
guy.
Really,
he,
no.
Okay. He was a teacher.
Okay.
For special ed kids, it was special ed kids, but it's more behavioral problems.
Okay.
Okay, so he's at the military, or not military school, but the school for kids who are having behavior problems and things like that. And out in the desert, this alien spaceship comes down and gives him a superpower, or a suit that gives him superpowers.
Okay, so he's
and
not
he
actually has the power.
Instruction manual.
Is that why
it's a book manual
on his logo?
And it's like a phone book.
Okay.
That happened, and then as he gets this, they're attacked, if I remember right, or something, and it shreds the manual. So the entire show, he doesn't know how to use the
suit. He's trying to learn how to use
the
suit.
That's why
is that
it's
why
a bumbling type thing.
Okay, is that why it's
know.
A book on his... Because it's literally like a cross of some type with a book in the background. That's always how I saw
You'll have
suit.
To watch through this show. It's funny.
That's why
he doesn't know how to fly correctly. He doesn't know how to use the powers and stuff because he doesn't have the instruction manual.
How many seasons did that get?
I think it got two. The problem is, and I didn't know this until Seth at work, our boss, had actually said, told me this, that the second season was, the character's name in this show was Ralph Hinkle.
Okay.
During the second season was when President Reagan got shot.
Okay.
By a man by the name of Ralph Hinkley,
God.
I believe, or something like that.
It wasn't that one.
It was so similar.
It was similar.
It was so close of a name that I think the network dropped it because they were getting great name ratings.
Okay. And that happens a lot.
But they can't have
things.
Their superhero with
life.
A very similar name
and
to
I
the
can't
guy.
And I can't think of her name right now because I want to say it. The character of Isis for Legends. That's why.
Sorry.
That's why I could not. Call her by her.
Yeah, that's why she
Isis.
Doesn't get the name of Isis.
So, okay, that's been happening for years now.
Mm-hmm.
But he does die, the great American hero, by the eye beams of Overgirl.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Overgirl is this. Is where we find out a couple of evil counterparts from Earth X, and I love this whole Nazis. I hate Nazis.
Yes, that from was, Ollie, from Barry, and from Kara.
Yeah, and that was totally a callback to Indiana Jones, and
there were. If you sit down and try to get every Easter egg out of this, you're going to fill a phone book worth of stuff.
Seriously. and as they're fighting in the church, they're going at it, and it's an awesome fight scene. They slow it down. They let you get to see Wally run. You get to see all these characters just fighting. Now, I thought of something no one else has pointed out, and I might be completely wrong here. Since so much was going on, what if the whole lightning bolts we saw of them running back fast so quick to save people wasn't just Barry and Wally? What if it was also Dawn helping too? But it was so quick we couldn't
see it. It's
possible,
but I don't know. There's no way to prove that
unless they go back and show something.
And the whole thing with Dawn not having a name, that could be another one, like we said, that they put stuff in here hoping to pay it off later.
Mm-hmm.
This may be something that they can pay off later.
Same as we did with Legion.
Mm-hmm. This week.
Okay,
tomorrow
is that
night
we're
actually
getting
as a recording
coming back.
Yeah, well, tomorrow night, or actually, no, that's tonight's episode as we're recording. It's on right now. Is actually the Supergirl episode titled Legion.
Nice. Oh, we're gonna talk about that next week. We gotta have to hold back.
That's actually the mid-season finale.
Sweet. Well, as they're all going at it, you get to see them take down this character of Prometheus. Now, everybody, as we knew before, Prometheus died.
That was Adrian Chase.
Mm-hmm. And it was Adrian Chase as the Prometheus. Now, I didn't know if we were going to get the real Prometheus in here that we saw from Batman comics.
But when I first saw him, I didn't see the mask. I just knew there was two archers running around.
Gotcha.
One of them had swords.
Okay.
And we've seen plenty of archers with swords on Arrow already.
Once the music started playing, I knew who it was. That was the Prometheus music from last season.
We get Malcolm Merlyn runs with swords and is an archer.
True.
We got any of the Al Ghuls.
Yeah, any of them with the arrows and swords.
Fia.
Yeah.
Uses swords and a bow.
Yeah.
Roy used all
just a bow,
but that doesn't mean he wouldn't have known this.
And he could have been, I see where you're going.
And
it
could
have been him being a sidekick and being
the
right
hand man.
And
I didn't know which one of these was, or which actors they had actually brought in for the show.
Mm-hmm.
So when they actually unveiled him, I was shocked.
They did say, we didn't cover it on here, but they did say Tommy would be returning. Tommy Merlyn would be returning.
I didn't know that. I forgot that.
I should have put it on here. We could talk about, I think it was like 4 weeks ago when they were getting ready for a crossover. But I didn't know he was going to be Prometheus.
Yeah.
So Tommy Oliver from Earth-X is Prometheus, and
Tommy Merlyn.
What did I say? Tommy Oliver.
You're crossing your universes.
I am. Tommy Merlyn, they take him in as Prometheus. They don't know who he is, but they're like, hey, that girl that Supergirl was fighting, she looked and fought just like her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had the mask, but you could body-wise, it looked just like her. And then that archer matched me arrow for arrow. Let's get some answers. And once they go down there and they're talking to Prometheus, he takes off his mask. It's Tommy.
Exactly.
And Ollie's like,
which throws Ollie for a loop.
I haven't seen you, you know. And then they're talking about, oh, my world, I die for you too. And then he's like, yeah, you did die for me on here. And then he's, he goes evil. Later, like, he just switches over. And he's like, he pulls a Prometheus. You think I'm nice, but I'm really crazy and psychotic and I'm evil. And he's saying, you guys are so weak on this earth. No wonder you'll never survive. That's why we're going to beat you. And then he's like, well, I'm coming in there and stuff. He's like, too late. He takes a cyanide pill and. Well, you know what that does to you.
Exactly.
He's not with them no more, so he can't talk. And that's something I think the Germans and Russians would do.
Oh, Germans, Russians. It was a spy thing.
Yeah, it was just a spy thing, the whole thing. I was thinking even in, that's a different movie, Captain America, Winter Soldier, they did the same thing. But now as that happens, that was really like I guess at the end of the series, or end of the show, we get to see it's actually Overgirl, Supergirl, Kara, and then you got Ollie being evil. But it wasn't Barry.
Yeah, I was thinking because I believe Grant Gustin is actually doing a voice in the new Freedom Fighters The Ray show.
He is.
So I'm wondering if that's not
Kara is too.
That reverse flash on that one, it may be Barry.
Possibly.
But this one we get, which is fantastic. I love this because it just shows Tom Cavanaugh's range.
Yeah.
Eobard Thawne, Harrison Wells.
But he's blitzing here. They're not calling him Reverse Flash.
But it is the Earth One Reverse Flash.
Yeah, this is the one from season one that was in the wheelchair to Harrison Wells.
Eddie Thawne had actually removed from the timeline by killing himself.
Right. But in this timeline, he has not done that yet. It's confusing. I can't really figure out how that works. But
they actually were calling him Blitz? I didn't hear names for any of these that actually mentioned in the show.
Okay, yeah, it was... I forget the evil Ollie. I don't remember his name. It was Blitz, Overgirl, I think it was Dark Archer or something like that.
Okay.
But yeah, that was the end of the first episode, and the first night.
Yeah.
And then we see them also in the camps. when we going to the next
one. Because the team is all is caught, basically. Everybody that was at the wedding was caught.
Right.
Now, we don't have all of the characters from the shows yet.
No, no.
We only had half of the Legends.
Mm-hmm.
We only have, we have Felicity and Ollie from Arrow. That's
it. Yeah, and then we had the full cast of
and
Flash.
And you have all of Flash, obviously.
Yeah, and then
because
you just
you're
had Alex
Flash.
And
Alex
Supergirl,
and Supergirl.
And that was it.
So, because that comes into play later.
Martian Manhunter again. I'm still waiting for it. Where is he going to be on these crossovers, man?
I don't know. He was on last year's for a little bit. No, he wasn't.
No, I don't think he was. Cause I was waiting for him to get there.
I'm trying to think. Did he come over?
I don't think
so. No, he fought the Dominators.
Did he?
Yeah.
I want to say he did too, but I'm not remembering seeing a scene of that, though.
I don't remember.
Hey, guys, if you're on there listening to us, let us know. Was Martian Manhunter on the last year's crossover or not? I don't remember.
Yeah.
As they're in the...
They split the team up again.
Right.
And they take everybody except...
Kara.
For Kara, Felicity... Well, no, because most of Team Flash is still here.
Yeah.
But half of everybody that's already there has sent to Earth-X to the concentration camps.
Right.
And we find out the concentration camps is not just for Jews and homosexuals in this one.
No.
This is Jews, homosexuals...
and metas.
Anybody that's a meta,
mm-hmm.
or anybody who they... Well, just like the Nazis, anybody they just didn't want to play with or didn't like...
Yeah,
they
deemed not worthy of the blue-eyed, you know, all that
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, they're not Aryan.
Yeah. Also, we got to figure out why they kept Kara... in Earth One and no one else.
Exactly.
They're testing on her.
Well, we do find out in this episode the whole purpose of the invasion into Earth One.
Mm-hmm. Because we also find out this too. Guess who's in a relationship on the Earth X? the evil version of Ollie and the evil version of Kara are a couple.
Well, yeah, you get Overgirl and Dark Archer.
Yeah, and
because the Dark Archer is the Fuhrer.
Yeah, that makes so much sense now. That does make a lot of sense. Okay. Well, he wants to save his wife. Or
mm-hmm.
are they married? They're married, yeah.
Yeah, they're married.
He wants to save his wife, but now if anybody remembers or heard
now,
of
the... Now, the reason he's saving his wife is because she's actually dying.
Yes, and if anybody has seen Superman or read Superman All-Star, it was an animated movie and the comic book, basically Superman has absorbed too much yellow... sun.
Mm-hmm.
So his cells are going to explode. And the same thing's happening for on here.
I've not read All-Star Superman, but I heard about that. Okay, now that makes sense because I was thinking it was basically they were taking a variation on a solar flare.
Oh, no. It kind of is still, but that's where they're taking it from.
I think the solar flare was in it because the solar flare ability was actually added in after All-Star Superman, I believe.
Oh, okay.
So it may be a modern version of that.
Oh, okay. Well, that's why.
Because remember, the solar flare is basically he has so much, you absorb so much solar radiation that you basically go nova and release it all at once.
Mm-hmm. Now was that something in Dragon Ball Z? We're talking about comic books.
Dragon Ball Z had comics.
There's all kinds of manga. There you go. You got to get that right. They're not comic books. They're either manga or manga, however you want to pronounce it, because no one has actually said clearly, at least in my knowledge. But anyways, they took All-Star Superman and incorporated this into Overgrown. They also took the Red Sun.
See, I didn't catch that one, the Red Sun references, but I don't know if I've read Red Sun.
Basically, what if Superman got dropped in Russia?
Yeah, I know that.
Well, what if Supergirl got dropped in Germany?
Oh, well, I mean,
seriously, you're using her as a
tool. I see more of a reference to the original Earth-X.
Okay. I saw it from the Red Sun.
Yeah.
Some of this was me just putting in there. But anyways, as we go on, we get to see them also fight Metallo.
Yes.
And he's the one that takes out Supergirl and why she gets stuck in Earth One because the kryptonite. And also we get to see in the campground, we get to see the general, I guess you would call him.
Yes. He would be the basically the SS general.
Yeah, and it's Quinn.
Okay, Quinn. Well, before you meet Quentin, though, you do get to – we meet a new character.
Yeah, we never seen this guy's face before. We finally got –
Now, if you knew if you recognize the actor
– I do not
Russell
know the actor.
Russell Tovey.
Okay.
We mentioned him on here that he
yeah,
was coming.
Yeah, you did. I still don't
because,
know what he played in,
did
though.
You ever see the British version of Being
oh,
Human?
Oh, yeah, we
the
did
The original
talk
Being
about
Human.
That. Yeah, I watched both versions.
He's also been
I
in Doctor Who and
them.
A lot of other BBC shows.
Yeah, so he's playing in here now as the Ray.
Yes.
We've talked about this.
They do make that reference that they're realizing, wait a minute, he's called the Ray and his name is Ray Terrell.
Yeah, and they're like, so your real name is your superhero name? He's like, yeah, what's wrong with that? Nothing. And this was Mr. Terrific talking to him, too. And he's like, what's your name? Mr. Terrific, I was my favorite wrestler. And like, I'm not getting into that now. But
is a veiled reference to a real wrestler that was not Mr. Terrific or Mr.
Perfect. Yes. And as we're there, we can see Quentin Lance see Sarah. And he has the German accent and everything. And he tells her, oh, you look just like my daughter. I remember her. why are you here? He asks her, and she says, because I like men and women. And he says, well, that's the same reason why I killed my daughter, too.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. He said, but you had such beautiful blue eyes and blonde hair, but you had to go.
Yeah.
Like, geez, you're evil. And as we're going along, we do get to see now Team Arrow try to save Kara from Labs. Why can't I work right now?
Well,
Star
the
Labs.
The only ones that are free are Felicity and Iris.
And they have no powers.
They took all the powered characters,
meta-humans.
Either put them on Earth X or put them in the pipeline.
Right, and that's what they eventually do. By the way, I thought this was great how on our planet or our world, Earth 1, we get to see the evil Archer take down all of Team Arrow.
Yes.
And then as we go a little bit more into the future, what happened in the show, since he looks I'm jumping ahead right now. We jump back to Earth X and they're in the camps, but of course they get out because of Citizen Cold.
Mm-hmm.
And he helps them.
And the funny thing is, they did not call him Citizen Cold at all, but everybody, if you know Flashpoint, this is they're basically taking the chance on something that they should have done they could have done with Flashpoint.
Right.
Because in the Flashpoint universe, back when in the comic books, Captain Cold is actually a hero called Citizen Cold.
Right, and I thought it was really good how they incorporated, oh, he's a good guy now. He was completely different. He's like, oh, I love your outfit.
Yes, he is an opposite
of
Captain Cold.
Why are you complimenting me on my outfit?
Well, even to the point where Captain Cold was very calculating, very cold, very, this is the plan, you stick to the plan, you do what the plan says, and everything goes right.
And who was that? Was that Heat Wave? That was like, my partner was always cold and calculating, but he never stuck to the plan. Like, that sounds stupid. I would never not stick to the plan. I always stick to the plan.
Yeah, well, and this Captain Cold's like, okay, you make the plan, you stick to the plan, and when the plan goes sideways, you make a new plan.
Right. It's like, no, you always stick to the original plan. But we also get to find out that Citizen Cold and the Ray are lovers in the show, too.
Yeah.
They're a couple. And that's why I think he broke him out of jail. He's like, I got your costume, and we're going to help these guys out now, too, because we also find out the Ray is from Earth-1 as well.
Yes.
He just got stuck in.
Well, Citizen Cold is from Earth X.
Yes, but the Ray
is from Earth 1. Somehow ended up on Earth X.
Yeah, did they really explain how he got there? And then this is where we get to see Ollie say, you know what? Let's use our face for advantage here. Since we look just like our evil versions, we can be our evil versions.
Well, that's because that opening scene with the Dark Archer fighting Guardian was the Freedom Fighters of Earth X were building a portal to Earth One.
Yeah, and
that was the Nazis taking over that portal.
Yeah, and
so now the our heroes from Earth One know that that's the only way they can get home is that portal.
Right.
So now they got to somehow get through a Nazi bunker full of hundreds of Nazi soldiers to try to get back to Earth One.
And who was not letting them go through there? Which character was that?
That was guarding it?
No, the one that wanted to blow it up and was being a butthole.
Oh,
that was
the leader. Well, that's where the leader of the Freedom Fighters
is
General Wynn Schott.
Who would have thought Wynn as a general? Seriously, on Supergirl, he's just the guy behind the computer button. Here, he's a butthole, too.
And he tells him straight up, he's like, I'm sorry that you guys are stuck here and you can't get home, but
after Alex
we have to
beg
take
him.
Our chance. We've been planning to destroy this portal for months and months and months. We can't change the plan now.
And Ken said in a nice tone, this guy was basically Batman. He was worse than Batman and Green Arrow combined.
Yeah.
I mean, he was just a hard butt. Like, I mean, he was just like, no, we're not. I'm like, Wynn, you never act like this. But as we see this going on, we also get to see them having a bomb sent there to blow it up.
Yeah.
And the bomb is actually not really a bomb or a missile. It is Red Tornado.
That is the Freedom Fighters' secret weapon.
Mm-hmm. And he's sent there. Now they're trying to stop him.
Which is great. It's another callback to earlier. This whole 4-episode arc is callbacks to what we've had for the last 6 years on television.
Mm-hmm. I thought, like we said, this was our favorite one we've had so far. But as they're doing that, you get to see Ray and the Flash use their powers together, and they stop him in a very awesome way. You gotta watch it, how it happens. And then we also see Iris and Felicity back on Earth One are the heroes of the day, and they don't have any powers, but they're using their brains.
But you do get Die Hard references.
Oh God!
Did you catch that?
I caught those
because they're going through the ventilation shafts, and you hear a couple of different Die Hard references in there.
They say it was gonna be fun. Have a couple of drinks. Have a couple of laughs.
I think one of them actually says Yippee-ki-yay, too.
Yeah, they do. And then we get a very, 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 very sad part of the show that I actually cried on.
Yeah. You gotta, this show actually hit you in the feels.
It did. I cried when I saw this.
Because as the team is trying to get back to Earth One, Firestorm is flying around and helping and fighting everything.
Yep.
But well, we got to go back to we know that they've been trying to separate Firestorm.
Oh, and we
So basically, Stein and Jax were back at the very beginning.
Right. Real quick, we also what I was touching on too how evil Ollie took out all of Team Arrow on Earth One. The good Ollie was on Earth X, impersonated the evil Ollie.
Yeah, to get into the
And
building.
Quinn said, you always like to kill some random slave or captive that we have captured here. And she was trying to feed the kids. And she's crying like, but the kids needed food. I was just trying to help them. And it turns out it's Felicity from Earth X.
No. Yeah, no. It's William's mom.
No, that's Felicity.
No.
That was Felicity.
No,
look
it wasn't.
At it. Dude, that was Felicity.
No, that was William's mom.
No, that was Felicity.
No, I forget her name, but that was William's mom.
Look at it. That was Felicity. She just, remember, her hair was always brunette. That's Felicity. Because that's why I said
so.
There was funny. You said you was going to, on Earth, Earth One, you were supposed to marry this woman, but she looked just like her. And then he, was about to shoot Felicity on Earth X and then turns around. And then,
what episode was it? That was on Flash, wasn't it?
No, I think that was Arrow. I think that was the Arrow episode.
No, this was episode 3.
One. Yeah, episode 3 was. And then he turns around and pulls it on the evil Quentin, and he's like, do you think I really put bullets in there? And after that happens, he just takes down everybody, just as the Ollie on the evil Ollie took down our heroes. He took down all the Nazis by himself. I just thought it was crazy how he's the only human here that's the big one, and he can take down everybody. No powers.
Well, no, we talked about the serums, didn't you? Earlier, the serums with the Stein and Jax?
Yeah, we touched on that. Because they were trying... Now we're going to get back to what happened with Firestorm that made me tear up. I don't know if Ken cried or teared up, but I sure did.
The problem was it was spoiled for me.
Well, I'm sorry. That sucks. I would have hated for that to be spoiled for me. I wouldn't have felt anything. Well, they separate because they hit a wall, and now they're on two sides of the room. They go flying, and Jax is dodging all the bullets, and Stein's trying to hit the button to open the portal up. And as he's running to hit the button, he gets shot in the back. And that ends the episode of episode 3. And then we jump into episode 4. And he's still alive for right now, but he's in critical condition. The only way that's keeping him alive is them staying as Firestorm. They take down the Nazis. They get back on the Wave Rider. And now Gideon can't even save Stein. So Stein is literally going to die. And Jackson starts to feel the same effects since they share the same...
Well, they end up combining to become Firestorm to save Stein so they can move him.
Right, but once they get back on the Wave Rider, they separate again, and they're trying to let Gideon save Stein, but she can't even do it. And everybody there knows he's dying. They're like, does Jax know? Because he's basically dying, too. He's feeling the effects of it. He's not actually dying, but you feel like...
No, if I remember right, he is actually dying. If one of them dies, they both die. Remember, they established that a long time ago.
You're right. And that's why he's like... Gray, we got to do something here. We're about to die, and I don't think there's any way to save you. Mm-hmm. And he's like, there's a way to save you, not me, but you can live. He's like, no. And he's like, I'm not taking that serum. We're getting here together. If you die, I die. He's like, no, I'm an old man. I've had a long, great life. I want you to have a long and great life. He's like, I don't want to have a life without you. And he's like, you've been like a father to me this whole time. I'm not going to let my dad die again. I see my dad walk away from me when we're in the past. I'm not seeing it happen right now. And he's like, well, tell my wife, tell my grandson, tell my daughter that I love them. You have to live your life. Let me go. And he drinks the serum, and he says, at least let me hold your hand. They hold each other's hand as Stein passes away, and Jackson is now just the only Firestorm.
No, he doesn't have any powers. Firestorm is done.
For now. Here, I have a theory on that, by the way.
Oh.
But he goes back to Earth One, and he
now we know Victor Garber, who plays Stein, is not coming back to the show.
No, he's done.
So no matter what, that part of Firestorm is done.
Yeah,
because he's actually returning to Broadway. We knew this for months now.
Yeah, and plus since that last season when he was the singer, in the musical episode. Well, now the team are like, we got to fight these Nazis and take them down for Stein. And as they say that, the evil archer pops up on the intercom for the Wave Rider, and he says, look, you guys are pretty good opponents. We'll let this Earth go long as you give us Supergirl so we can still... Did we really explain? Oh,
no.
Yeah. Well, since she's Overworld Girl, we're a little off topic here, guys, sorry. So many things were happening. Overgirl's going to explode, like I said, in All-Star Superman. She absorbed too much yellow radiation from the sun, and her body's going to explode. But if they can do a transfusion of brain and heart...
They had to transfer Kara's heart into Overgirl.
Okay, and Kara's like, no, that's not okay.
I need my heart.
Yeah. Well, you look just like me. You're me. You're my doppelganger. We're going perfectly. And Reverse Flash is the one operating the surgery.
Yeah.
And he's getting ready to actually cut her heart out, but Ray Palmer, the Atom, stops him from doing so because he was small enough to escape. And
well, that's one of the
things
that Felicity and Iris, while they were crawling around in the shafts, did was they were able to actually send a distress call out to the rest of the Legends.
Yeah, and the one that popped up was Ray Palmer.
The first one. And then the rest of it, right as soon as he does that, you see the rest of the team show up.
Right. And then they get taken down, but Adam is fine. And now they're on the way, right, all of them, including the heroes even from Earth-X, and they're going to have a showdown on the streets, and they do. You get to see Blitz and Flash go at it. You get to see Overgirl and Supergirl go at it. And she even had a callback to one of the Superman movies, if you called that.
Yes. They do pull off the Superman 2 direct quote line of, Overgirl is in the evil Wave Rider.
Yeah.
And Supergirl's sitting outside the viewport and says straight up, "Excuse me, General. Would you mind to step outside?"
Yep, and they're going to go at it. Now, basically, she's exploding now as the fight's going on. So, Kara just takes her up into outer space and let her blow up, and she's falling down on Earth. Sisson Steel catches her.
Exactly.
And then when...
Did you catch the line he says when he does?
Oh, yeah, I thought...
It's kind of fitting that the Man of Steel would catch the Girl of Steel.
And because you see her falling, and she does this little poof, and it's like, wait a minute, that should be a bigger drop than that for Supergirl falling down to the planet. And just a little increase in the ground because he caught her. And then you see Evil Archer getting upset, and he's like, "No, you killed her, I'm going to kill..." Before he turned all the way around, Ollie already puts the arrow in him, and he's like, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was fitting that Supergirl helped her other side die, but didn't really kill her. Ollie did kill his evil other counterpart, which makes sense. Right. And then Flash lets Reverse Flash or Blitz, whatever you want to call him, go. And he's like, "You're not going to kill me." He even gets really close to his chest and vibrating him like he does. He's like, "Oh, you know you want to do it. You know you want to do it." And he's like, "I'm not doing it." He's like, "You're going to let me go." But I love what he said. "You kill me one time, I'll come back. I kill you one time, you're just dead." That's Reverse Flash. You can't get rid of this guy. And that's really the ending of the crossover, except we have a couple more things with the funeral and another wedding.
Yes.
At the funeral, Jax is breaking down, the whole family's breaking down, and all the other characters in the show help Barry Stein by getting some dirt and costing it on there, which I thought was really, it was once again one to cry. Now, here's a theory I had, Ken. Now, tell me if I'm wrong, or you think this might not happen. There's a new person in the family of the Stein family.
The what, Little Ronnie?
Little Ronnie.
No, now, I don't think so.
Now, what if they go into the future on Legends and get him from the future and he's actually the Ronnie we know that looks like him?
Firestorm Matrix is basically dead in Jackson.
But they can always create. If they can create a formula to take it away, they can create a formula
possibly
to bring it back.
I don't think they're going to. And I think it's not an instant universe thing. It's nothing there. It's a straight budgetary thing. Firestorm is the most expensive effect they have.
I didn't think about that.
How many times have we seen in a show that Stein and Jax were separated and one's doing one thing, one's doing another?
Yeah.
So all of a sudden they can't become Firestorm.
That's why I only really see King Shark and Grodd.
You never actually see Firestorm very, very little.
Yeah. Well, for me, I'm hoping one day on the show of Legends that they can actually get Ronnie from the future, and he's going to join the team of the Legends, and you get Jax and Ronnie becoming the new Firestorm.
Yeah.
That's where I'm going with. And
well, you could always end up pulling in Ronnie from another timeline, too.
Or that. Yeah, you could.
From
we
another
still don't
world?
Know where he's at, honestly. He's in a black hole somewhere. They could just get that Ronnie.
He may not be dead.
No. Yeah, I don't think he is.
Depends
I never
on when
thought he died.
Depends on what Robbie Amell's doing, because I don't know, is he doing the next season of X-Files?
I haven't looked up anything. Because
I know
about
X-Files is coming back in January.
I hope he's not on it. I hope they kill his character off and come
actually,
back.
Actually, no, I loved him on X-Files.
No, I'm just saying, I hope for sake of Legends, I hope he comes back to here and his character dies in X-Files. And the last thing that happened was we get Diggle throwing up once again because of the Flash.
You get, start with Diggle squeezing a ball and actually trying to work on the strength in his hand.
Yeah.
Because we know on Arrow, he's got nerve damage in his shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
So he's working on rehabbing that.
Right.
And out of nowhere, Barry runs and grabs him and brings him back.
Yeah, he's like, "Good thing I didn't puke."
Yeah.
It's like every time that happens. But they got Diggle because Diggle has trained or...
Well, he's ordained and able to do weddings. He did it for his brother.
And that's when they're like, wait a minute, we need someone to still marry us. So Iris and Barry finally get married from Diggle. And then that's when you hear Felicity say, you know, oh, that's one thing. Felicity, in the beginning of this whole thing, did not want to marry Ollie at all. He asked her and was about to propose, and she's like, I don't want to marry you. Then by the end of this episode, she's like, you know, I changed my mind after everything that's happened. I would want to marry you. I do want to marry you. So then he basically does a double wedding with Ollie and Felicity. And then Iris and Barry. I want Black Canary and Ollie. That's what I want. Black Canary and Green Arrow need to be a thing.
Yeah, but this is okay for this because this is they've been building this for six years.
I don't care for it in any way. That's like me watching. That's like literally Wonder Woman and Superman getting together all over again.
No,
I mean it's not right. That's all I'm saying. It's not right. You need Lois and Superman. No. You need that though. Anyone but. Black Canary and Ollie to me, I don't care for the relationship.
We gotta think his Black Canary is dead.
Well, we got a new Black Canary.
Dinah, no.
They need to make something happen. No. They need to make something happen. I don't care what it is. I'm not gonna be satisfied with the show till it happens. I'm serious. I'm not. That's what turned me off about the whole thing. That's why the whole Listy thing fans
well, here,
were upset.
You know what might
and
help
they
you?
Kill Black
you know
Canary.
What helped you? What helped you with Gotham might help you here. This is in Elseworlds.
That doesn't help. Okay, so if we ever have Wonder Woman, Superman on screen in any movie, I'm gonna tell you it was an Elseworlds. It's not.
No, they're never gonna. They would never do that because they know. They know the whole thing with Lois and Clark.
Yeah, but it. What I'm saying is, it's not. It doesn't feel right. It just. It doesn't.
Well, you gotta
right.
think. Yeah, for you, Dinah and Ollie are a thing. But yeah, remember that's not that old of a thing. If I remember, it was the early 80s when they started.
See, for
that.
Me, I was when
yeah,
I first read them,
yet.
They were together when I started getting into it.
Lois and Clark go all the way back to the 1930s.
Well, see, they were together when I learned it, so it was the same effect of this is what I know for you to be. If not, I'm not into it. But I did like also how that they made Ollie somewhat a little bit humorous, too, when he was on his motorcycle and car and Flash get to the destination. He's like, guys, remember... I don't have super speed.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, Holly. But that was a crossover on Earth-X, guys. I know we went a while on there, but that was four nights of epicness.
Yes. And we missed a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, we did. So this is us just going
on. So this is one that's definitely worth going back and getting a rewatch. If you go to the CW app, you can still watch them all again.
Yeah. I've rewatched it three times. I spent a lot of hours. Literally my free time, if I had it this weekend, was watching it with
my
mom.
Yeah, I need to go back
and
watch it again. I've only got a chance to see it once.
So I watch it by myself, watch it with my mom, then watch it with my girlfriend. So good stuff, though.
So, but... moving from there, we do have a little bit more news before we get into our reviews.
And this is going to be the other big part of the show. We're going to run through this one pretty quick.
This is going to go pretty quick because the first one is just Margot Robbie has actually come out now and confirmed that she will be actually returning to Harley Quinn next year sometime.
Now,
this was on a recent episode of Variety's Actors on Actors.
Okay.
And we don't know what that is. There's multiple things we know she has signed on to play for Harley. This could be Suicide Squad 2.
Or it could be...
Because they just announced the director, the accountant director, Gavin O'Connor, is going to be directing this that movie. Other options is maybe they're going to start Gotham City Sirens. Or the Harley Joker Mad Love movie, which has been rumored.
Please stay a rumor, no offense.
But...
It was a great story. I don't need to see that in a full movie. I just don't need to see that.
I don't know. I've never read the story, so.
Well, watch the cartoon.
Okay.
No, like, Leary was on the animated series. That one on Emmy, too. Mad Love episode.
The other option is one that I think is actually a lot more possible. Is that they're actually... She was actually talking probably about the new Harley Quinn animated series that's coming to the DC Direct app.
Yeah, and people were saying maybe she's just going to be doing the voice for
Harley Quinn. Already confirmed she is doing the voice in this show.
Oh, okay. So you think that's
so
really
if
all
the show
that
is coming in
2018,
that may be what
I'm
this is.
I'm coming back as Harley Quinn. Okay.
Yeah.
I couldn't really read it. My computer's acting a little glitchy on this website here.
Okay.
I was going to say thanks for getting all that.
No problem.
I know what was going on.
Do you have the next story?
Let's see.
Let's see if it'll open up for you. Because you know more about this one than I do. We have a new movie trailer for an animated movie.
Well,
not just an animated movie, an anime movie.
Yes, this is full-on Japanese dub, too. We're probably just going to have English subs. If we ever get an English dub version of it, I would like it, but this is going
We'll get an English dubbed version.
Once again, I'm a little frozen here. Well, I can just tell you guys what's going on from the trailer I remember watching. It's Batman and Joker in an anime. They're basically taking a samurai tone to it. Batman and Joker are both going to be samurais fighting
each
other.
Well, not samurai. This is Batman Ninja.
Is it Batman Ninja?
It's called Batman Ninja.
I'm a little frozen here. Batman Ninja. Now, we also, like, we saw some Harley Quinn in here. I think either Batgirl or Catwoman was in here, too, and Robin. I don't know if we're probably going to get Alfred, maybe a Commissioner Gordon character.
Well, this is basically, DC went and actually got some of the biggest names in anime to do a Batman story.
Yeah.
Some of the names on here, if you know anime, you know some of these names. Junpei Mizusaki, Takashi Okazashi, and Kazuki Nakashima. Are the three main ones that made this. Now, in the teaser trailer here...
Okay, here we go.
Batman, in a bulky samurai-inspired armor, confronts the Joker, and Joker tells him a hero can do everything but kill.
This kind of reminds me of Roni Kenshin, once he stopped being a murderer.
we do get a glimpse, it says here, Nightwing is in this.
I was going to give you the whole
Penguin
cast.
Penguin is in here? Okay.
The whole cast, guys, and these are confirmed. The heroes of this movie will be, of course, Batman, Nightwing, Red Hood, Red Robin, Robin, Alfred Pennyworth, and Catwoman. The villains are confirmed also as, of course, the Joker, Harley Quinn, Penguin, Poison Ivy, Two-Face, Clayface, Deathstroke, and Gorilla Grodd. Gorilla Grodd's throwing me
off. Yes, I did see Gorilla Grodd.
Yeah, I saw it too, and I'm like, how did he get here? It's the Batman movie. Okay. But yeah, now also these are the creators of Afro Samurai as well, and if anybody remembers that, that's why the designs look so
See, familiar. I didn't realize this was the Afro Samurai was actually a Japanese show.
Oh yeah, it was an anime. Like, they weren't BSing when they said anime.
Well, there's been a couple of shows that have been American-made shows with, like, anime style.
Avatar Last Airbender.
Yeah, like Airbender and things like that had the anime style.
Even Samurai Jack did too. But this was Afro Samurai was actually an anime, and this is the same creators that is making Batman Ninja. So I'm going to have to get this. I don't know how. I might not give them the first drops, but I'm definitely going to stream it probably from somewhere.
We'll see it when it first drops. Now, we already know the film is rated PG-13, which doesn't surprise anything, because most of their animated films have been coming out as that. I'm looking to see if there's any kind of... No, we don't have any kind of release date for this yet.
No, they just said that they will be in 2018, and the trailer was released December 1st of this year.
That means if the trailer just came out, you got to think we got 2 to 3 months before it actually drops.
Right.
Because usually we get the trailer just a couple of months before it goes. So the next one is actually into comic news. And DC is finally going to be moving away from the Rebirth banner at the top of their books.
I was wondering if you were going to do that. I thought it was great when it first came out. I loved it, but it was like, over time, they're going to change it up.
Well, coming to an end, and actually, I believe this week or next week is when they're changing it out.
I think it's this week, because this is the covers that's coming out this week.
So it's instead of the banner across the top that says Rebirth, you're going to get in the top left corner of the book, which is the classic DC and Marvel both back in the day. That's where you put the logo for the company, and it says DC Universe. And then it's also going to have your issue number, the price, and the rating all in those box.
And also the logo of each character with a red background.
The main character of the book's logo will be...
Oh, not all red. Some of them are different colors. You're getting a couple different ones here. I got some red, some blue, some green. At least that looked green. Some more red. So, yeah, this is in dark blue. But, yeah, this is what they're going to be doing. I think that's really cool. Now, if I'm wrong, they didn't really put the logos of the characters in there. They did everything else but that back in the day, correct?
Well, this one replaces the Rebirth banner in the same way that the Rebirth banner replaced the New 52 banner.
Yeah.
Because remember, the right before Rebirth, you still had the 52 in the corner.
Right, you did.
So the DC's Rebirth was, we know, first introduced in 2016, because we started right before that. And DC, and it was a way for DC to enact the, well, this is actually just telling how this works, and we already know we've been covering this since the beginning. So, but basically, anybody who hasn't been from the beginning, Rebirth was basically a way to bring back the history of
DC
and the
Comics.
Continuity of DC Comics that was removed in the New 52.
Right. And I was going to say, we're going to get into the continuity of the New 52 and the why has everything changed, because this is going to be great. but we're going to do that very last.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't put this on. We didn't talk about this, but for DC Games, this is the last news story we're going to do before we get to the comic book reviews. DC Games are looking at a new company, because last big thing they had was...
Well, no, actually, the way I heard that was not that they're looking for a new company, but they're looking for a new lead designer, I think, or something.
Okay, as lead designer.
Yeah.
They're waiting to make a new game. Their two last big games was the Arkham series and then Injustice series.
And it looks like what it is, they're looking for someone possibly to develop the next wave of the Arkham games or something.
Is the Arkham.
Is a possibility.
Don't get me wrong. I love them, and I wish they would continue. There are some things I didn't see that I wanted the way to end. But let's get some other characters in there. If they want to I want a Justice League game. I want a Superman game or a Justice League game.
Yeah.
But I think it would be a little easier to make a Justice League game.
Well, I guess there's rumors that there's been a Superman game in the works for a while now.
Yeah.
They're still working on.
Yeah, I've heard that.
And there's a couple of other characters that would be awesome to see in games.
The reason why I said I would like a Justice League game is because... And if you play, have you played the games yet, the Arkham series?
No, not yet. I have them sitting at home. You gave them to me.
Okay. especially in the last one, there was references to the entire Justice League. Not just little posters. I mean, there's literally people talking about.
You know how sad it is? This past weekend, I finally got an Xbox One.
You told me about that.
Okay. But I finally sat down this past weekend and started Star Wars The Force Unleashed. That's how far behind I am on video games.
Woo!
Yeah, I beat those games a couple times over, actually. And I'm not. Yeah.
I don't play a lot of video games, but those I've actually beat a couple times because it's just a fun playthrough.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, in the last Arkham game, there's references to the whole Justice League. Martian Manhunter being a detective in the GCPD.
Yeah.
Superman being referenced from Lex Luthor calling Batman. Batwoman was being referenced. The Birds of Prey was being referenced. It was just... I'm like, you guys are setting up for a Justice League video game, right? So that's why I'm saying I would like for them to make one, but we'll probably get a Superman game, but who knows? We'll see.
Yeah.
But that's
the end of
our
news section for this year. For this year.
We're getting close to that, though. We will be able to say that closer than this month.
So, but we need to get into some reviews. And there's a couple things I want to mention in the reviews from some of the other books.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did you read the rest of the books of the week?
I
did this past week.
I've had such a
big
week.
Did you read this one yet?
I spent most of my time rewatching nothing but
Read Action number 992?
I did not.
So, do you want the spoiler?
Spoil it for me. Go ahead.
All I have to do is do this, to flip to the last page to give you the spoiler. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready. Yay! Yes!
Booster Gold appears at the very end of the last page of Action 992. So Booster Gold is back in the universe.
So now all I'm hearing is Ted Kord and Booster Gold team up?
Well, in this one, he's coming back to try to catch Superman before Superman makes a major mistake.
That's cool for now. I'm talking about
later. So you got to read it now to figure out where this goes.
But I'm talking about later, though. If that's happening, I want to team up.
Well, it
kind of
makes sense that
characters.
Dan Juergens brought Booster Gold back.
Of course Dan Juergens did, yeah.
Batman Beyond number 14. Did you read this one yet?
Because
I told you about this one.
You did.
Since
he told me about it, okay. Oh, okay.
It looks like
it's basically a Robin cycle.
Yeah. In Batman Beyond number 14, Bruce Wayne has been in the hospital and was really beat up in the last couple of
episodes.
He's finally out of the hospital. And being Bruce Wayne, you can't really have a bunch of nurses come over take care of him at home. So Terry McGinnis and his little brother Matt, have moved into the mansion to help take care of Bruce.
Now, we talked about
Bruce
this,
has
guys.
A problem with this.
Of course he went. How many people has he let in
exactly.
as orphans in his house?
And this looks like, as of right now, that Matt is moving. And if you've been reading Batman Beyond at all.
Wait. Not just if you've been reading, if you've been listening to us. We said this like last year when
it
we
looks
first
as
got
though
the first couple
Matt
issues.
Matt is finally moving into... finally pick up the role of Robin.
Because we said, what was his friend's name? We said that's basically
Max.
Their Oracle. Yeah, Max was like the new Oracle.
This will be the
he's
the last
new Batman,
here
so his little brother should
spoiler.
Be the new Robin.
And it
that's
is.
That's not just a spoiler, that's a callback.
Yes. Well, this is, it looks as though, because they're facing the Royal Flush Gang.
Yeah, the
it
character
looks like Ace has just broken Terry McGinnis's back.
In the same way.
The same way that Bane did.
You want to show
Batman.
Them on there on Facebook?
I don't know if they're going to be able to see it from here, but I will try.
Let me see.
Here's your last page.
That literally is the same exact pose of everything they did decades ago with Bane breaking Batman's back.
And you know what? I'm going to go ahead and show Booster Gold because Booster looks awesome with Skeens right beside him.
Mm-hmm.
Or Skeets, isn't
Skeets.
It?
Yeah, Skeets. I have the toys upstairs, by the way. of that.
And there's the booster gold.
I don't say you should be able to see this pre-gun. We're looking.
Yeah, check the Facebook
here.
Live, and you'll be able to see it. These are pictures you're going to have to get up on Facebook, on Instagram.
Yeah,
we may have them in the preview.
I just saw it's a little glare
list.
There, so we didn't get the full thing. But yeah. I'll put these pictures up on Instagram, guys, and you can see it.
But I'm trying to think. There was some cool stuff in Detective, but nothing super super huge. I don't think. But it does look like in this one, Killer Moth is trying to put together a group of bad guys to take out. Because they're pushing the fact that, that people are realizing, and the new mayor of Gotham is realizing, that Batman now has this paramilitary-type group that's working with him.
The only time I can ever take Killer Moth serious is from the Teen Titans animated series.
Yeah?
That was the only time. Besides that, I'm like, dude, you have too many colors for me to take you seriously.
Oh, let me look at some of the other books I have here. Justice League of America, was there anything super huge in that?
Lobo.
Well, Lobo's also always super huge, but...
Wait, is that the annual?
No, this was not. No, the annuals are next week for us.
Okay.
The annuals came out last week. We will be reviewing them next week.
Okay, I take that back. Lobo wasn't a big part of that one. He's a big part of the annual.
Okay, I've not read the annual
yet. I read the synopsis.
There's the last page for Harley.
Okay, well, dang it. Red Tool's right there.
Yeah, Red Tool's in here. And,
no, I mean, like, Red Tool's probably thinking, now I have a chance with her.
Well, this is the finale of the Vote Harley storyline. Or, yeah, the Vote Harley storyline.
Okay.
And the end of the Vote Harley, there's no more Mayor of New York. Or no, he is still there. Here's your wake up in the morning.
Oh, jeez. That's
you
got to
read this.
Have
you, you've not been reading this, have you?
Dude, I haven't read
it. You
got to
read this storyline.
I don't hate Harley. It's just it's not my...
It's funny, it is still the funniest book out there.
I'm not a big solo Harley. I like her in Suicide Squad. I like her in the Batman books.
We have
that,
a new villain in Flash.
A new villain, Brandon?
Mina Dwan is back.
Right, I've seen that in last
one. And she has absorbed the negative speed force from Barry. So Barry's back to normal.
Okay.
But she is now the negative Flash.
That's what I was wondering.
So we have a new
evil
Flash.
Okay.
So we have
the
reverse Flash. We have the negative
Flash.
We have another reverse
Flash. And a
black
Flash.
There's all kinds of evil Flashes out there in the universe. And then Teen Titans is...
basically the opposite of what happened 20 years ago between Kid Flash and... Actually, I was like, yeah.
Well, this has... and it's cool because you see Emiko is actually going by Red Arrow in this.
Okay, cool.
But she does not join the team. But you do have... Kid Flash and Robin reconciling their differences on the team, but then you flip the page to the last one, and you get Tim Drake and Alfred watching the Titans, and Alfred asks Tim straight up, are you going to tell them that you're back yet? Because not everybody knows Tim Drake's back from the dead.
Yeah, and
so Damian doesn't know yet.
Yeah.
And Tim comes up and says, soon, Alfred, soon.
All right.
And the next episode of Titans next month is actually going to be together with Super Sons. It's called the Super Sons of Tomorrow.
So we're going to have to read that so you can see the little crossover.
Mm-hmm. So that's just a quick preview of of what I was reading in the rest of these books for this week. But
guys,
we have three books to full-on review this week.
Batman Who Laughs. I love this one. Then we have Justice League Part 4.
Number 33.
And then, of course, you got to do Doomsday Clock. The Doomsday Clock is really big, so...
Yeah. The Batman Who Laughs, actually, out of all of the Dark Batman origin stories, was okay.
No, I'm not going to say Batman origin stories. I'm going to say the books.
No, the Dark Batman origin stories.
I didn't think so. For what we're reviewing tonight, yeah, this is probably the weakest of the other two books. But for the
this was one of the better ones, in my opinion. This one was a straight-up origin for this Batman.
That's why... Because the Merciless... The Drown, those were two that I'm like, I don't know. But the Batman Who Laughs, I see why you're saying it was a little into you because it was a little, I don't know, it was a little slow. It was more of like big sinister things happening than just a big good story build up.
But it does answer the rest of the a lot of the other questions we've been learning about because you do see the origins of the crazy psycho Robins.
And by the way, if you say you haven't played it yet, spoiler, guys. I mean, it's been about 2 years if you haven't played it. This is literally the whole story or one big main part of the story for Arkham Knight.
Okay.
I mean, literally, we're going to get into it, but the whole poison from the Joker turning Batman into the Joker, that was literally the storyline for Batman keeping the sanity in the whole game.
Huh.
Because Joker tried to turn him into Joker.
Yeah.
When he dies, Batman could take up the mantle and also break Bruce Wayne. So.
Well, there was a couple of big drops in this one, but mostly it's just the origin of the Batman Who Laughs.
Yeah, I'm actually glad I got to see this because in the video game, of course, Batman beats it. But if he didn't, this is what would happen to him.
Yeah. So we start off the Batman Who Laughs just telling the story, mm-hmm. and you go to the Earth negative 22 in Gotham City many years ago. And you see the Joker is basically burning down the city. He has actually captured
Joker has
the
basically
Batman.
Won at this point. Seriously. Yeah. I mean, in any story I've seen, Joker's never had this much power and control of Gotham without Batman taking him down. He's killed the other villains in Gotham, too. He's killed Killer Croc, Catwoman, Penguin, Two-Face. He's taken them all down. And now
he's killed Gordon in this, they showed. He's
in a brutal... You want to tell him how he killed Gordon? That was one of the big epic parts. Like I said, this book wasn't really big on, like, epic things. It was more like something sinister that happened. The way he killed Gordon was... where exactly was
it? Well, then it does say, up to the end, Gordon was telling them, don't kill him, take him in by the book. Do
right.
this correctly.
Hold on one sec. I want to find out how he said he was killing Gordon, because that was really big. Oh, man. Hold on.
Oh, he dissolved him.
Yeah, there you go. And up until the end, he was screaming for Barbara.
Yes.
He literally dissolved him, and I'm guessing
but
acid.
The Joker did save Jim's pipe and glasses and coat for Batman.
Yeah. I don't know if he did anything about Barbara, but that was the last person he was screaming out for. And as he's kicking Batman on the ground.
And in this one, you do see that the Joker does know who Batman is.
Yes, he calls him Bruce.
He calls him Bruce in this.
And a lot of people have speculated for years, Joker does know who Batman is, but he just doesn't care because he's
Bruce Wayne's not fun to play with.
Right, Batman is. And now he's been doing this, and he has kids lined up. He has Batman, gave him some type of neurotoxin where he can't really move, and he's... basically just there. He's got to watch all this death happen. He's bringing in kids and their family, or he's a child and their parents, the mother and father, taking them down, and I think they're even by Crime Alley, and as they walk down to the corner, Joker shoots the two parents, then poisons the kid and becomes a little Joker minion.
Exactly.
And there we go. That's how we figure
and
out
you see,
the Robin.
Batman is going nuts because
and there's
this is
a,
stuff
I mean, there's
that
like
to him.
100 of people here in Gotham. He's been shooting them all night. Just like, oh, remember when you was a kid doing this? How it happened to you, Bruce? Hey, look at this other family. Remember this happened to you, Bruce? Oh, hey, look at this family. Remember this happened? And Batman's literally like, he's turning Batman crazy.
Finally, Batman does lose it.
Yeah, and as I said, it's not just the killing of the parents. He's turning all these kids into his own little Jokers.
Yes.
And I think this is how the origin of the evil
this
little
Robins
came
This is where the evil
about.
Robins come from.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
eventually.
Oh my God.
But so Batman finally goes
berserk.
Berserk catches Robin or catches the Joker and actually snaps his neck.
Yeah, he snaps his neck, he's beating the crap out of him, losing his teeth and everything. Then he just goes,
Well, the Joker tells him straight up, the only way to stop this, I'm not stopping this at all. You're the only one that can stop this.
Yeah, and then Batman screams out of nowhere, stop! And as Joker's laughing, you hear a crack. And as you hear this crack, there's a bunch of toxin gas.
There's a bunch of green gas comes out of the
mouth
of the Joker.
And then 2 days later,
there's a warehouse with Batman and Superman overlooking all of these children that look like the Joker.
Right. And he said, then Superman tells Batman, these kids need a psychologist. One of the girls, where is this right here? A psychologist spoke to one of them this afternoon and she tried to cut out her throat. And Batman says, and he says, what'd you say, Bruce? He's like, oh, I'm sorry, that wasn't funny.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, that made me crack up. I'm just like, oh no, it's working. But the way he gave the, oh, sorry, that wasn't funny.
Well, then you get three more days ahead.
Yeah, and then this is,
and you have a training scenario with the whole Bat family.
Yeah, and it's a little Robin with, cooking knives. Trying to kill Batgirl and Nightwing and Damian and Tim Drake. And all this is going on. Now, we remember Tim Drake or Damian in one of the what series was it? It was when they were in Gotham City fighting the Mad Hatter and the evil Robin talked to our Damian. He's like, oh, in my world, I wanted to help Father. So I told him to turn me into this evil Robin.
Oh, yeah. Don't remember what that was.
It was one of the... I forget what even the book was called. We had so
many. One of
the
recent books.
Yeah, it was in one of the Dark Knight Metal crossovers they had. But they're all in this training session, and this is very brutal. It's not just brutal. These robots are trying to literally kill the Bat family.
Yes.
And Red Hood's in here, too. And they're all talking, saying, something's wrong with Bruce. We got to talk to him. We are his family. Now, everybody's in the room talking right now except for Damian. We got Red Hood, Batgirl, Nightwing, and Tim Drake Robin. Or, I'm sorry, Red Robin. And they're saying, we're here to help you, Bruce. What's wrong? And he tells them basically, hey, the Joker, when he when I killed him, he was already dying. That's why he went on this murder spree, the biggest we've ever seen, because he was trying to break me to kill him, because when I killed him, he was dying, and what was killing him was the same toxins that made him the Joker.
Yeah.
And whoever was by him when they killed him,
well, yeah, he had the fast laugh. Because he had something set up in his body so that when he died, it would release.
Right, and the person whoever would kill him would become the new Joker. But he doesn't want anybody to kill him. He wanted Batman to kill him, so he would become insane and become the new Joker.
So now they know that the Batman has been infected by the Joker toxin.
Right, and they're saying,
and
we're here for you, Bruce. Yeah. We'll always help you. And he says, I love that about you guys. I'm really sorry I have to do this. And they're like, what do you mean? What do you have to do? Bruce, what are you doing?
And he pulls out Uzis.
Yeah, from his cape. And he literally shoots. Guys, this is... Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I mean, this is brutal. I really can't describe this in any other way. He shoots them in the head, the body. I mean, the only one that's trying to fight back with guns is Red Hood, but he even misses.
Mm-hmm.
So Batman literally just killed the Bat family.
Then we jump a week after that up in the Watchtower, and the entire Justice League has been slaughtered, looks
like. Now, guys, I'm going to get graphic.
Except for Superman.
I'm going to let you know exactly how each one of them died. You have Hawkman hanging upside down in outer
space. No, Hawkman, has been ejected into space.
Yeah, and he's upside down flying.
Who is that? Is that Orion?
Yeah.
Huh. But he can, isn't he,
He can breathe in outer space. I don't know.
It looks like Orion, though. Maybe that's Adam?
Looks like Flash is tied up and hung
by Plastic
pieces
Man's
of
body,
Plastic Man.
And Plastic Man's dead, hanging upside down. Barry's strangled to death from Plastic Man's body.
Wonder Woman is strangled by her lasso.
Red Tornado's been broken to pieces. Martian Manhunter was trying to look like he was morphing and then exploded.
Yeah.
And then Superman's bleeding from the eyes. But he's not dead yet. And then you see Batman now come in, not in his regular colors either. His cape is now green on the underbelly. He basically looks like the Joker's colors in Batman's suit. He has the pale white skin, too, red lips and yellow teeth. He says, Bruce, what happened to you? You're not... Why did you do this? And he says, the same reason because I want you is the same reason I've been holding back. And he said, I'm disappointed that you only get one. He said, I'm disappointed because I know so many ways to kill you, but I can only do it in one way.
Well, I can only do it one time.
Or one time, yeah. That's crazy. And as Superman sees his family run in, you see this must be something that's affecting the Kryptonians because Jonathan's bleeding through the eyes too. Lois is not. And he says, why have you brought my family here? Why did you do this? They don't need to be here right now. And he says, oh, that's okay. I brought them here. And then you see the other evil Robins along with Damian evil Robin. He says, I have some kryptonite here for you. It's the black kryptonite. And I also killed Kara and the other your other family member. She turned on her family and killed them with this kryptonite.
Yeah.
So basically the same thing's going to happen to you. And he says, I hope you love and hope you say bye to Lois and Clark right now. Or, John and Lois, and throws the black kryptonite at him, and basically Superman murders his own family.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
So then we get to, and we see as this was happening, that Bruce is actually surrounded by, actually looks like Damian, because he's calling him father, and Damian is leading this troop of little Joker Robins.
Yeah. And then basically the whole world is in destruction, because... The Batman Joker, a mixture of both of them, the whole world would be in destruction. He just has bodies. Mm-hmm. He's literally sitting on bodies as a throne. And then you see Barbados come in and basically says, you should be the one to lead all the rest of the dark multiverse Batman.
And basically Barbados is telling him what he's been telling the rest of the Dark Knights, that your world is dying. There's only one way to save it.
But in this one, he directly tells him, it's because of you your world is dying. He's laughing like, oh, good. Is there another one basically out there for me to... destroy? And he tells him about the dark multiverse and everything. He's like, ooh, more worlds to destroy. This Batman is just sinister. Just as it reminded me of something from Batman The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
He just wants to watch the world burn. And in this case, several worlds. And as he's... I don't know who he's talking to. This whole time, this reminded me of The Killing Joke. Do you remember how he was laying his cards on the table and was like, everything begins with this and that.
Yeah.
Just one bad day will make you snap. That's he's doing the same thing here, but he's talking to somebody in a chair tied up with bandages wrapped up around his face like he's been beat up or had surgery done to him. And we don't know who this is.
Yeah.
Who's your speculation on who this might be?
I'm not sure. I think we'll find out soon, though.
Yeah. Well, he tells him here, the scariest thing of this all is I am not the only we're not the only dark multiverse versions of a Batman. There's dark multiverse versions of all of the Justice League, of all the DC characters.
Well, yeah, there is. You got to think, if there's 52 worlds in the multiverse, mm-hmm. there are 52 dark multiverses.
Yeah, we've only seen 7.
Yes.
Well, the rest is the evil versions of Green Lantern. There's a dark side hybrid of Superman. There's a dark, like a Harley Quinn version of Black Canary, a zombie version of Green Lantern, a Prometheus version of Superman. I'm trying to find out, like, all these little details here.
Yeah.
An evil version of, why can't I? Help me out here real quick.
Of Dr. Fate.
Thank you, of Dr. Fate. You got a Power Girl that's evil back there. You got a cheetah hybrid of Wonder Woman. You have a spider hybrid of The Flash. An evil Martian Manhunter. I finally saw Martian Manhunter in here.
Uh-huh.
Another evil Batman. I mean, they're just literally evil versions of everyone and anything you can think of. Another, like, crab-mixed version of Aquaman. There's just so many different things in here. It's crazy. But this is the most scary part, because if they break in, that's what they're trying to do, and come into our world, no one's going to survive.
Yeah.
And then he tells the guy in the wheelchair, where is this? To win, you need to adapt, and to adapt, you need to be able to laugh. And always restarting, or you always do everything with restraining back your laugh. But you see, Batman who laughs is a Batman who always wins. And then he literally ends the page with the evil ha 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 ha. And
this will be continued in Metal number 4.
Yep, The Wild Hunt.
And The Wild Hunt. Because Wild Hunt is the next series after The Bats Out of Hell is finishing right now. The Wild Hunt starts, I believe, in January.
Okay.
That's
okay.
The next crossover series. 4-part crossover.
Oh, man, that was a crazy episode. Or crazy issue.
Yes. And the Justice League number 33 is actually the Bats Out of Hell finale.
Mm-hmm.
And this had there was some awesome stuff they've added into here.
Yeah.
And they basically brought back. And this actually and they've actually supercharged Cyborg basically in this.
Yeah, they did.
Added to his abilities again.
And as we also said this in the movie, I'm still learning.
Yes.
he is a computer. He's always updating.
Mm-hmm.
And then this one, you see if we remember correctly, guys, in the other, the Bats Out of Hell Part 3, they were all losing against their evil versions of
the Justice League has basically been beaten by the Dark Batman. And Cyborg is the only one that isn't taken captive because he's already been captive and they're trying to hack his systems.
Right. And you see all the rest of Justice League being taken and trying to be used as batteries to power up why can't I think of this word? The tuning fork.
Yeah, the cosmic tuning or the multiversal tuning fork.
Yeah,
it was the anti-monitor's tuning fork, basically.
Mm-hmm. And you see Cyborg basically look like he's getting ripped apart here and getting control of, mm-hmm. and you hear the ping, 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 ping. But the ping starts going to ping, you are ready, Victor Stone. And he's like,
so the ping is actually talking to him now.
Yeah, and then he starts seeing all these evil versions of a cyborg where he's going to turn into. He remembers back when he was a regular human just watching the game. He starts seeing evil cyborg versions of the Justice League.
Yeah.
That's another thing that's happening in the multiverse that's out there. Then he remembers him playing football. And now he's stuck in
Then he goes to black. And yeah, he is basically, his consciousness has been pulled basically into the mother box, which is in him.
Mm-hmm.
So you gotta remember, most of his abilities and stuff were created from the mother box.
And also remember, if you guys also seen the movie, the mother box is evil. Cyborg is, evil.
I don't think that the mother box is evil.
But it's made for destruction.
Yeah.
It's made for destruction. Anything that causes chaos, it will help you do that. And it's basically telling him your programming is updating, the elements from EarthX is precious.
Yeah, you're finally at the point where you're ready to actually join with me fully.
Right, and you can have all the access to the cosmos if you allow yourself to become one with me. And he says, why me? And the mother box tells him, all who have connected with a mother box in the past have all achieved their perfect form, and yet you have always resisted. Then they go back, and you look like you see some evil characters from the Justice League, like you have a Batman, another Batman, a Nightwing, like a Superman here, Wonder Woman. And he says, oh, wait, there's others like me? And she says, many. And he's like, wow, what if that happened to me? What if I give in? What will happen? She says, I will delete your original program. And he's like, wait a minute, so I'll be deleting me.
Yeah.
The only part that keeps me is that.
It will be the final deletion of Cyborg.
Cyborg, yeah. That sounds like the show you just watched, doesn't it? and then... I love that. It says, you are not necessary. The multiverse does not need you to save it. Let me show you what is at stake.
And then it shows him the multiverse.
Yeah, and this is pretty awesome. Try and see, was there anything?
Now you got to most people, you got to remember that the Mother Box is a trans-dimensional weapon. Because remember, Apocalypse and New Genesis are outside of the multiverse.
Right. So it's
this
is like godlike power right now.
As we were talking about in the Justice League movie and all these other ones, that a boom tube is a trans-dimensional portal.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas on Earth Prime or anywhere else, the teleporters, the the Thran Theta beams, all that stuff is place to place in your world.
Right.
A Mother Box boom tube is transdimensional. You can go to any. You could theoretically probably boom tube from here to Earth X.
Yeah.
Or to anywhere else in the multiverse.
And that's why Darkseid's so scary.
Yes.
And as I was looking here, you see different versions of the Justice League. I mean, I can't go into everything here, but whatever you guys can think of, whatever team up you can think of, it can happen here in this.
Exactly. Page. It is basically. We've seen in the last year or 2 years since Rebirth started multiple different versions of the multiverse.
Yeah, we have.
Well, this is Cyborg looking and seeing the entire multiverse.
The entire multiverse.
The dark and the light.
It's basically like Cyborg has God Eye right now. Mm-hmm. That's the way I was seeing this.
Well, the nice thing, before you get to that, don't flip that page yet.
I know.
Because Vic talks about how he can see it. He can see the whole multiverse. He's fought this fight for so long, maybe. You're right. Maybe it's time. And then a voice out of nowhere says, "Victor, no, you can't." That's just a little like weak bubble. So it's someone else in his head.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the Mother Box, and it's not Vic.
And it says, "Who are you? Who's there?" Is that the Mother Box? Says, "No, but listen to me. We don't have much time to explain this, but you can't give up, Victor. I've watched you for so many years and for so long. You always." You never really feed your failures. You just build from them.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, watching me, should I trust you? You've been watching me this whole time. Says, please, I've seen you truly what you are on the inside. The Dark Knight saw what you are because of the Mother Box, and that's what they want to take away from you because they know you are the one to overcome it. Without you, the Justice League would fail. You have to look inside of you the same way you always have. And there's much more to you at stake here, Victor Stone, than what you see. And there's a ping that goes off, and he's actually saying ping now. There's Victor saying the ping.
Yeah, so the Mother Box is still trying to take control of Cyborg.
Yeah, and whoever this voice is says, Victor asks it, then Victor Stone needs to take one for the team, and then the voice says, no, I'm here with you. You don't have to fight alone. And then he says ping again. The voice says Victor. He says ping. And now we're back in what's happening now, and you see the evil Alfred that was from...
The Alpha Program.
Yeah, Alpha Program from the Murder Machine. And it starts to go away, and the evil... the Batman who laughs is like, whoa, what's going on with your programming, Murder Machine? He's like, I don't know, something's interfering with my connections. He's like, what do you mean something's interfering with your connections? I knew I should have merged with Batman Lex Luthor... So when he stopped, like, he said that. So there must be a version of Batman out there that's merged with Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
I don't know how... I don't know if I want to know how, but that happened somewhere.
Yeah.
I could think of was when Brainiac merged with Lex Luthor. Maybe Batman merged with all three of them. I don't know.
Possibly.
That's the only thing I could think of.
Well, and then a voice tells him, he means that you finally made a mistake. You all did.
Mm-hmm.
You always do with me. You wanted my Element X, so you showed me my failures on loop. Mother Box wanted to erase me, so it told me the universe doesn't need me. You all tried to win by telling me that I'd already lost, but you forgot one thing. I may be wires and metal on the outside, but deep down, I'll always be Victor. And so now you get to deal with Cyborg 1 million.
Mm-hmm. And this is something I really loved, and everybody probably picked up on this. You probably picked up on this, too. The thing that made him Victor Stone before Cyborg, he would rewatch the games that he failed on. Because he would learn
from
his
mistakes. Yeah.
So you guys playing
my
mistakes
him. He was
on loop was
team.
Like, okay, I messed that up. Okay, I messed that up. Let me prove for this. So he's
they
said, you guys made a mistake by showing me my failures.
In the first couple of issues of this, they went out of their way to show that Victor
is the key.
Was a phenomenal athlete, and he was a great athlete, but he was a better coach than an athlete.
Exactly.
He was a coach. He was one of the old school player coaches.
Mm-hmm.
That he could actually not only pick out what he did wrong.
Right.
He would help the rest of the team figure out what they did wrong.
Right. And now he's also playing, because he's ultimate, he's literally ultimate Cyborg right now.
Yeah.
Like he's in, like I say, he's like in God mode for Cyborg. And then it's like, play my music. And he has speakers built into him. So you hear the game music, the dun 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 dun.
But the more he's playing music, the last power that the Dark Batman have.
Right.
You gotta remember, in Dark Knight's Metal, this is all done on vibration and on frequencies.
Yeah.
Well, Cyborg is now playing his own frequencies and his own music.
And you see the Batman who's loud is like, stop that music!
Yeah, what is that music?
And he says, oh, this is just me blasting my theme song through my speakers. I play this every time we were about to play and get pumped up for the game. When the ball was on the one-yard line, hike.
Yeah.
And they just go at it.
Then you get the all-out war.
Yeah, the whole Justice League versus the Dark Knight's Metal.
And but that's not all that happens, because out of nowhere, you get, remember from Dark the Metal series, we've seen there's
Dr. Fate.
There's Plastic an entire Man. Team that's sitting
Deathstroke,
in the background.
Hawk
Girl. Plastic Man isn't there yet.
He's not there. I'm just naming off people.
But we get the rest of the team shows up.
The Titans, the Suicide Squad. But since the Titans in there, Raven is, well,
the ones we see show up is Deathstroke, Dr. Fate, Mr. Terrific, and Shira Hall, or not Shira Hall.
I'm just calling her Hawk Girl.
Kendra...
Saunders. Yeah.
Who in this one is part of Blackhawk Squadron.
Right. And then you see Raven that's been trapped. And she was trapped before in one of the Dark Knight Metal crossovers.
And you find out that Raven has been that voice in his head, in Cyborg's head.
Which I thought was great, because that was a callback to Teen Titans. I don't care what nobody says. Giddy. And she says, is it you? Did you hear me? Please, the Batman who laughs. He wants my darkness, and it's almost like I'm almost laying it out, but I felt your strength, and I fought so hard to stay with you. To tell you all this because I know you wouldn't give up, then you gave me hope not to give up. And then he pulls around and says, because of you, you kept me stronger too. And they kind of hug each other, basically saying, we both kept each other strong to not give in to the darkness. And now this is when Hal Jordan Aquaman's are like, done with all the hugs and kisses, can we now get back to, fighting the Dark Knights? And they says, now our team needs us, so we have to go.
And the great thing is, Cyborg tells us straight up, stay close to us. My new multiverse upgrade showed me it was you talking to me. So now his powers are not just mechanical and computer and using the mother box. Now he's got multiversal type powers.
Exactly. Something to fight the multiverses of the Dark Knight Metal. And he's looking back at everything that happened in the Drowns world, the Batman Who Laughs world, all these Dark Knight multiverses world. And he says, and you want to know why these Batman chose to be monsters? Because they knew when they went wrong, that was one of Batman's fears, is his biggest regrets. And each one of them caused each of their world to fall, Batman's biggest regret.
Yeah.
So now they're fighting on their weaknesses, but unlike Batman, he doesn't really learn from his mistakes. Once he makes a mistake,
these Batman.
Well, our Batman does the same thing.
Our Batman actually learns from his mistakes a lot of times.
No, he doesn't. Jason Todd died, his biggest regret. What did he do? Got more Robin. What happened
to
Tim
Drake? Well,
actually,
no. He died
again.
If you think, Batman didn't bring in Tim Drake. Tim did it on his own.
No, but what I'm saying is,
and Damian. Batman didn't ask Damian to become Batman.
No, but
Robin.
If you notice, when Batman fails, it turns Batman into more of what he is afraid of.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
But you got to think, though, he did learn from Jason Todd. He said, no more Robins.
But what happened?
And Tim, yes, but he did not give the mantle to anybody
but
else.
But what happened?
The people after Jason Todd, after Jason Todd picked up the mantle on their own.
Yes, but what would
he
happen
allowed
to each
them to
Robin,
do it? But
besides Dick Grayson, each Robin has died in some way, shape, or form.
But they all come back though. It's comic books.
I know, but what I'm saying is that's Batman's regrets. Batman always his biggest fear is his regrets, and once his regrets happen, he always goes down to that dark path, and that's what happened to these Batman. That's why they fail, because what helps Batman get away from his biggest failures?
Yeah.
Having a family around him. These Batman do not have
that.
So this is why the Barbados is now saying to all of them, all roads lead to the darkness. The darkness is going to take over. You told me your planet told me that you planned for every scenario. Cyborg transformation, bring in unknown into the game. He's talking to the Batman Who Laughs, because he's basically, I gave you
this.
Well,
the Batman
the
Who Laughs is his general.
Yeah, and he's like, you messed up. And they now go off into, I don't know where in the multiverse, because he's a boom tube at this point. And Batman Who Laughs
they're
tells Barbados, calm
which is
down, they'll be back.
Cyborg, the Flash recognizes where the Justice League ends up at. Mm-hmm. They're in hypertime.
Yeah.
Which I think is basically a version of the Speed Force.
Right.
Is what I'm taking it.
And now this is something I love.
Well, it says here, it's a web of time streams.
Right.
Outside the multiverse. He's only raced along its borders and never seen it from the angle they're at now.
Now, can we name some of these as what's going on in each timeline here?
Yeah, these are from a bunch of different timelines. So.
Some of this is from what we just covered a while ago, from the future children of the Justice League we just did about a month ago.
You see all kinds of different stuff in here.
Then you see the Superman from a different world with the regular S on his chest. Then you see the Teen Titans from the one series in 2006. This was their future versions of themselves.
Okay.
Then you see the classic Super Justice Society. Then you see the Flashpoint universe. Then you see Flash's twin children here. Then you see what's happening.
Is that who that is?
Yeah, right there.
Oh, okay.
The twins. And then you see what we just saw in Hal Jordan's Metal.
Yeah.
Fighting the Metal ones. This is the classic Superman. This is Wally West coming back from Rebirth. I'd seen this panel somewhere, but I don't remember where that's at.
That's Batman Beyond.
Oh, okay. Thank you. You see Batman Beyond. Then you see Miss Martian here holding a gun. I don't know where that's from. But you got just all these multiverse. I thought was cool little callback from everything you've had in the DC Universe. Oh, you also see Wonder Woman and her brother. I don't know how that, whatever. That might be why she has a brother, because of everything that happened. That's probably why we never knew. He might be a time. What are they talking about in Legends?
Aberration?
He might be Aberration. That might be what he is for the story. I don't know. But anyways, this is all stuff that they're saying here. And then Vic's getting a little weak right here, and he's trying to hold on using this new thing, because or using his new upgrade, because the Mother Boss is still trying to take over.
Yeah.
He says they'll be all right. They're going to beat the Batman. They got them spooked now. So when they come back on that playing field, they're going to take them out. And before he can become full-on cyborg, he loved being a player first. And he's just going over saying, as you said before, he loves to be a better coach. And then they all boom two back. Once again, you have Hal Jordan and Ms. Terrific with the Plastic Man egg. You have Dr. Fate, Wonder Woman, and
Kendra
Saunders. Then you have Deathstroke and Aquaman. Then you have Cyborg, Raven, and Flash all racing. And now the Barbados is shaking now, but I think the Batman Who Laughs is so crazy, he doesn't even understand that they might not win this.
Yeah.
Barbados is actually like, we might lose here.
Yeah, the battle's finally slowly starting to go the other direction.
Right. But you know, with Joker, he never, if he loses, he still have fun.
Exactly. So that's the end of Justice League number 33. That's supposed to lead into Metal number 4,
mm-hmm. And
which I'm not sure when that's even coming out. That may be next week.
Maybe.
That's not on this week's books.
Yeah, it's not. I don't know. Well, when we get it, you know we're going to cover it, though.
That's right. So, but now we get into the book that's been 2 years at least in the making, and actually more than that.
Yeah, I was going to try another 30 years since, in the making.
Yeah. We get the Doomsday Clock number 1.
Mm-hmm.
How many different covers did you buy of this? I saw at least two already.
I have two. I wanted three. Me and Liv, my girlfriend's friend, Peach, was talking about he wants to buy the cover. I told him, if you get anything, get the lenticular cover of Rorschach, because that's the one I need to get, and that'll be the three big covers I have.
Yeah. Now, you've read regular Doomsday, or regular Watchmen, so I'm going to lean on you on some of this.
Okay, I want to actually go upstairs and find the first, I have some of the issues, guys. I have, like, the first five or six issues, original issues, upstairs.
Yeah,
so I wanted to see the comparison. I haven't had time to do it yet between the first issue of Watchmen and the Doomsday Clock.
Well, I'm reading this from the only thing I know from Watchmen is I've read part of the original, but I watched the movie.
Mm-hmm. The movie was honestly a dead on representation.
Yeah, that's what everything I've heard is a lot of people didn't like it. But
I love it, especially the Ultimate Edition.
Who was it? We had the quote last week or something. Oh, last week because they were talking about. It was Damian Lindelof.
Yeah,
was talking about how Snyder had actually made pretty much a
straight on copy.
This is the book in a 2 hour time frame.
Yeah, it really was.
You cut what you have to, but you still did the whole book.
Yeah, he literally. The only thing he changed was the whole bomb in New York. He might tweak some other stuff, but that was the biggest change. Everything else was. I remember reading the book and watching the movie. It's like. Word for word up there. Word for word. Same. It was the same thing.
Well, this is the actual continuation. And the original one was mid-80s, wasn't it?
Yeah. I don't remember. I should know, but I don't remember the exact year. But it was in the 80s.
Well, this picks up in November of 1992.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it says November 22nd. Or maybe it's the 23rd.
You know, once that happened, that should have gave everybody... talking, but we didn't think of it because, like, well, that can't be him.
Yeah, well, some of this is a little confusing because it bounces around a lot.
His brain bounces around
a lot.
And also, this
tells you the story from different points of view all at the same time.
Exactly. And it's a riot going on here, and it's basically Ozymandias has been outed. There's chaos on the street.
Yeah.
And there was a great quote here. I'm trying to see if it was on this page or the next one. Nope, it was on the next one. And you have this riot going on, and they're trying to break into Ozymandias' building, and they are breaking in. The police cannot stop them. They're shooting them, but they're still getting through.
Yeah.
It's like the world is ended here. And it starts off also by saying, where was that?
They basically take this entire book,
really,
or at least the first, like, 10 pages of this book, to show you what condition the world is in.
Yeah.
Because as soon as you get past here...
here it is. And it says, we have shattered their American dream. This is the American nightmare.
Exactly.
I love that quote.
We do see that, though, from there, everything up to that point was one person talking.
Right.
Now, it was very disjointed, very all over the place, but it was one person talking. And then from there, the narrative is picked up by multiple newscasters, multiple different
news sources,
people talking.
Television, then you see newspapers reading the same
thing. This is a very all over the place way of telling what happens from here. And it's basically telling what happened since Watchmen.
And then when we go in, there's like some type of government team looking into the snow, and this is where we've seen everything go down in the last Watchmen book, where Rorschach died, where Dr. Manhattan blew up Rorschach. I don't remember. Was it the Antarctic? It was somewhere up north.
Well, before we get too far, the books there, the thing here where everything is bouncing all over the place, we find out that the world is falling apart. Russia is getting ready to invade Poland to basically attack Europe.
Yeah.
The rest of the world is watching this. Also, the powder keg is on the other side with North Korea, which is very, very much pulled out of modern headlines. So the world is basically sitting on the breach, ready to push the button on nuclear warfare.
Yes, and as this team is breaking into the facility of Ozymandias, you see X-rays, and there's a tumor in somebody's head here.
See, if Geoff Johns hadn't pointed that out in his panel,
yeah.
That just looks like a light glare off of this skull.
Yeah, it really does. It's like, oh, okay, that's not really anything right there, but it's the way their art is. And then we go back to the news channel, and the TV goes off, and now you see a policeman walking through, and some prisoner grabs him by the throat, grabs him, and then someone punches the guard, takes the guard's keys, and this guy's like, oh, crap.
Yeah. Well, what it is the reason that the guard's running through this prison, but the news has just interrupted everything to tell everybody that Russia has actually invaded Poland. So World War III is about to start, and they have instituted martial law, and they have mandatory evacuations for what they're considering red zones, the first targets for a nuclear strike, which obviously this is part of that. And then the prisoners are saying, wait a minute, give me the keys, let me out of here, we gotta go.
And that's why this guy punches the guard, and then the guy's like, oh crap, it's Rorschach.
Yes.
Now
it's... Kinda.
Kind of. We all got revealed from Geoff Johns. Now we see why he kind of spoiled this, because there's even something deeper behind this. And he says, you still want out? And then the prisoner says, no, I'm good. I'm cool in here, man. And
and then we kick back to the one-man commentary.
Yep, and he's saying, stomach groans, I'm hungry. Last day on Earth, and I went to mornings at Joe's for some pancakes in the city, and I sat down, and I saw this beautiful, not reading this word for word, but he got the hot syrup, and he saw this beautiful woman named Amy, and she had some bruises on her neck and a split lip. Found out it was her boyfriend, put his hands on her again. So I got a fork, and what is this? And he put a fork through his tongue and forgot to tell him why, but hope he got the message.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, there. And then he sees this door with lucky number 13 on it, and he says, why 13? He says, no, not 13. It was 31. And then he goes to the door 31. He says, I like her. I locked her up here. She was dangerous. And as he's unlocking the key to the door to get her out, that's when all the other
you can see someone
around
is
the
unlocking
world,
the launch codes for missiles.
Yes. And they're going off. And as he's opening up the door, it's this lady in here, Erica Manson. Manson, right? What's her name?
The Marionette.
She says, Rorschach, is that you? And he says, 3 hours, 36 minutes before prison goes to ash. Maybe less. Run slow, my watch does. Meant to fix it. I like how the watchman's watch doesn't work.
Yeah.
And she says, it can't be. How'd you get here? I thought you were dead. And he says, come with me. She says, that's not funny. You're different. You're not the same guy. He says, I'm different. I'm not the same guy. She says, prove it. He pulls off his glove, and it's actually a black man's hand. Or some type of darker ethnicity
hand. Yeah, dark
skin. Yeah. So this isn't Rorschach. When I saw it, I'm like, oh, whoa. I didn't see that. I did not see that coming. And then he pulls out a photograph of these, this envelope of people. And it's actually,
yeah, she needs incentive to come with him.
Right. It's her son. And it's also covered in syrup. He says, yeah, I had breakfast this morning.
Yeah.
And it's a little picture so she of goes, her son.
And she goes nuts and starts screaming at him, where's my son?
Yeah. And he's like, I'll tell you once you help me. And she says, I need my son now. You're coming with me. He's like, yeah, well, you're coming with me. And she said, well, I'm not going without my husband. He says, this wasn't a two-person deal. I just need you. She said, well, I'm not going where until I have my
well,
family
she,
back together.
Well, she asked him straight up, well, where are we going? What do you want? Mm-hmm. He says, find God, save the
find
world,
God, yes.
We'll explain.
And then we go back, and her husband's name is this guy named Mime. And Mime doesn't talk at all. He's been quiet, and they all think he's crazy. And these guards are getting ready to do, or these prisoners are getting ready to do something terrible to a guard. He's like,
yeah,
you want to join?
Yeah, since the prisoners are out of the cells now.
Right. And he says, well, I'm going to teach this guy a little payback. You want to help? And he's like, oh, you still quiet? You don't like me? You never say nothing. You've been disrespecting me this whole time. And then they punch him and start beating him up. And then she says, baby. And they're like, oh, whoa, is that who I think it is? It's Rorschach out with her, the marionette. And that's not why they're scared
she
of her.
She says straight up, come on, we're leaving.
They're scared of him. Yeah, and he says, wait.
He looks up at her, and then she says straight up, I know you're in the middle of a performance, but we got to go. At that point, he basically takes all of them out. There's about 10 guys on him.
Mm-hmm.
They're all pretty much dead at this point.
And then he starts smiling at the end. He doesn't say nothing, but he performs. He's Mime.
Yes.
And then it's like, it's time to go. And he's like, oh, wait, we're not going for our weapons. And Rorschach's like, look, guys, we're losing time right now. He looks back at his watch and he's like, oh, yeah, this thing doesn't really work. I don't know what time it is, really.
Yeah, we're running out of time. I have no idea what it is. But they do go back to get the Mime's weapons, and you open an empty locker. He reaches in, and Mime's putting on a weapons belt.
Yeah.
And checking his guns.
And he's like, I think they moved your guns. And then he's like, oh, wait a minute. You just have big problems.
Yeah.
There's really no weapons there. He's a Mime. And now they're in the prison break. And this panel right here is the same exact panel you got when Rorschach broke into Dr. Manhattan's facility.
Oh, okay.
And then now they go to his car, and it says the same poop color brown car like
yeah.
their grandparents had. And they're like, oh, it smells in here. Do you live in this thing? He says, yes. He says, it stinks. He's like, well, I can't smell anything through this mask.
Yeah. And she asks him straight up, well, if you can't smell it, can you see?
He says, perfectly. And now they're driving.
Yeah, they're the only schmucks driving into New York when everybody else is trying to get out.
Out of New York. So it's really easy for them to get there. Traffic's not backed up at all. And they're in Queens. And this is where we saw the panel before that we were covering, where there was a car door open with a folder and files hiding out. And there's a manhole cover moved back where somebody snuck into the sewer.
Yeah.
This was who they were. It was Mime, the marionette, and Rorschach. They're leading them. And now they're into tunnels. And she's like, how much longer we got to go? Are we going on some type of wild goose chase? He says, no, we're going to go down these tunnels. Right, left. I don't remember which one it is. And then Mime puts a fake gun or air gun, whatever you want to call it, to his head. And he's like, don't point your imaginary guns at me, is what Rorschach says.
Yeah.
And he says, it wasn't funny the first time. Like, seriously, don't do that. And they're like, okay, let's relax and tell us which way is the right way to go. He's like, oh, yeah, right. And they both look at each other, Mime and Marionette, like, this guy might be crazier than we are.
They end up walking up to this big door, and it just says, danger, flood door.
Mm-hmm.
He knocks on it once and just stands there waiting.
And as he's waiting and waiting, they're like, where are we going? He's like, this way, into the light. Turns out it's the old Night Owl, or the second Night Owl's headquarters. And there you see Archie. Archie is basically his bat plane, if anybody that makes
sense. Yeah, the owlmobile or whatever?
Yeah, but it's a plane because he's an owl. He doesn't have to... No, that's a good question. Batman flies more, bats fly, but he drives more.
He has a bat wing.
Yeah, but Night Owl always uses his flight machine all the time. And then there's like, oh, yeah, this is his old... place, and I see Night Owl here. I thought,
is he
Night
actually
Owl...
alive?
Yeah, right.
That's what they're asking, because this is his bunker. Does that mean we're actually going to meet Night Owl?
Is this who your partner is? Because he said that he had a partner. It's not Night Owl. This is not the same Rorschach. If it was the same Rorschach from before, it probably would be his partner, Night Owl. They were partners. When they would go off and do missions when nobody else knew, which I thought was funny, because both of them were basically the same character like Batman. One had the whole gimmick of Batman. That one was crazy and conspiracy theory like Batman. But it's actually Ozymandias that is in here. We don't know where Night Owl is. He says, I've been held up down here. Rorschach's been working for me. And he also still has his evil little feline there that was big before. I don't know how it got small or it's a new one. And she's like, oh, it's you. And she's ready to kill him because everybody's been looking for him. There's bounty out on him, like 10, 20 million. She's like, why don't we just kill you now and collect the money? He says, if you do that, Miss Manson, I would be more happy for you to do that, but I have another proposition for you. And then that's when Rorschach's basically like, we need to find somebody. And he's like, are you going to tell them why we're here? And then his head starts hurting on Ozymandias, and it turns out he has the brain tumor. That we didn't know this at first, but once they went to Ozymandias' hideout and there was that tumor in there, it could have been anyone. It is him. He says, it's kind of funny that I'm the one with cancer now. Well, wait a minute. Does he have a brain tumor or is that cancer? Yeah, he actually just has cancer, and it's in his brain. And he says, funny how that worked out, because back in the day, that was his whole gimmick was make Dr. Manhattan look like the bad guy because he can give people cancer.
Yeah.
Now he actually has cancer.
Yes.
ironic, he says. But we have to find somebody. We've been looking for him. We need to find, and then he says we need to find Dr. Manhattan, but Rorschach says we need to find God. And then that's when Ozymandias says, we need to find John. Now, this was something a lot of people were speculating on because the next scene is in Metropolis. When they said Jonathan, I was thinking, could this be John, Dr. Manhattan? Could this be Jonathan Kent?
What's Dr. Manhattan's name? I don't remember. Jonathan. Is it John? Then that's who he's
They're
talking
both
about.
Named Jonathan.
Yeah. Because you see here, they asked Dr. Manhattan, no one's seen him in years. He says, yes, I know. Then you get a scene of, you can see Dr. Manhattan's shoulder here, and you see him saying, I'm leaving this galaxy for one less complicated.
And that was in the, I don't remember if that was exact scene or exact panel
so
pulled
that's
out of the original.
Why, but if you take the next panel with the one after that, and Ozymandias says, that is our mission, all of us. We need to find John. Wherever he's retreated to. So
and
that's talking about Dr. Manhattan.
To, now we go to Metropolis.
Metropolis in our DC Comics universe.
And this is just the writing of Jeff Johns, and this is how all the Watchmen comics were, the original ones too. When he said John, I really said this could be, and it's spelled the same way. That's the funny thing.
Yeah.
John, Dr. Manhattan, Jonathan Kent, and the new Jonathan Kent, the Superboy, they all have the same name spelled. So in my head, I'm like, if he's been incorporating himself in the DC Universe, who's to say he wasn't one of those characters all along?
Possibly.
I don't know. I don't know yet. We're
I don't think
issue.
So, but...
Might not be, but I gotta throw it out there.
We get in on the bedroom with
Lois
and Clark. They're both sleeping, and
but
Clark's
having a
dream.
A dream right now.
Now, the events that happen in here, is this the newest version of these stories?
This was Jeff Johns' version. Jeff Johns wrote a book about Superman. This did happen in there, but that wasn't canon.
Okay. So it looks like this is a nightmare version then.
Yeah.
This isn't okay.
Like I said, if I might be wrong here, but I read somewhere that Jeff Johns did make a Superman story, and this is how his parents died in his story. But it's like I said, this isn't canon, but I like how I kind of incorporated it into his new story.
Well, the nightmare is they're going to the senior prom. Clark is being dropped off by his parents.
And he wants to dance with Lois. Or not Lois,
with
I'm
Lana.
Sorry, Lana.
Lana is actually at the dance with Pete.
Mm-hmm.
So as he's at the dance, Jonathan and Martha are driving home, and on their way home, they get into a car wreck and basically die there.
They hit a tree.
Yeah.
A truck hits them, they hit a tree, and they're dead. That's when Superman wakes up, and she's like, Lois says, Clark.
Yeah.
He says, Lois, and he's flying. He's floating in the air. He has one of those same things we just saw in the crossover, too, when Supergirl was floating. And she says, oh, God, Clark, you've been yelling and shaking the whole house. What's wrong? He says, it was a dream. I had a bad dream. And she says, calm down, we'll talk about it. He says, but Lois, here's the problem. I can't remember the last time if I even ever had a nightmare. I don't even think I've ever had one.
And this one, the way he describes it, it sounds like this may be the way he remembers his parents actually dying.
Right.
She said, it was the night my parents died, Lois. It was horrible.
And as I said, that wasn't canon. But Jeff Johns wrote
it. It wasn't, now.
But
I don't know.
Like I said, this is Jeff Johns' book.
Yeah.
He can do whatever he wants to it. But this was great.
Then we get to some... The Ozymandias quote at the very end.
Mm-hmm. He meets some fragment huge and stops to guess what powerful but unrecord race once dealt with in a unannihilated place, Ozymandias. And then this was also the big black page that says dedicated to Lin Wyn. And then we get these news reports of the original, what happened in the Watchmen. Now,
you get the great lie.
Look. Lightning bolt.
Oh, nice.
I wonder if that was in the original one.
I don't know. The Institute for Spatial Studies has a flash lightning bolt on it.
Huh.
On the door underneath.
Interesting. But that is pulled from the original one. I know that alien.
You'll have to go back and look.
Yeah.
Then you get all these things that are bringing you up to date a little bit of
what happened
with
from
Rorschach.
Because
you get Morning Joe's where he had his pancakes.
Mm-hmm.
You get all these other little things here and there. Then we get the end is actually all the different variant covers of this book. And now we have another month to wait till the next one.
Yep.
It's going to be interesting to see where this goes from here. Because it looks this does confirm, though, that Dr. Manhattan came to the DC's Earth Prime years ago.
Yeah. And now, guys, this is sold out. They got to make the second print. So you've probably seen this. I just want to let you know there's the variant covers of Dr. Manhattan and Superman.
That's the poster we have. I got to bring over.
And that's the comic book the variant cover I got. Yeah. Then you have Ozymandias on the shoulder of Lex Luthor. Then you have Batman reading Rorschach's journal. We talked about that before. Rorschach walking away from a building that's being blown up. And then Joker with the Oz pen. Is that the Ozymandias or Oz pen? Because it looks very similar.
It could be either way. You never know.
We don't know.
And tell me the joke. That doesn't look like normal Joker.
No, it doesn't.
It's drawn very much in the style of what you would see the Watchmen.
Yeah. So,
And the background is kind of interesting because you see a mushroom cloud with a little smiley face on it.
I think that means they've been blowing up the world of the Watchmen, but Joker says, let me get a picture on here. Yeah. Make a smiley face. Well, that was the Watchmen. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's the Doomsday Clock number one.
Yeah. Watchmen number two, I like to call it.
And we will see the ramifications of this coming next month.
Mm-hmm.
But there's only one thing we have left to do now. That's the end of our reviews. And that sounder, just like every week, means it's time to take our weekly trip to the comic shop. This week, we are going to the comic shop for a pull list for December 6th, 2017. And this week, as every week, our comic shop pull list is brought to you by the Shazbots. Check them out on iTunes and Facebook, and go over to shazbots.com and check these guys out. Now, this week, like I said, the pull list is for December 6th, 2017. We have 8 books on the regular pull list,
and then
we have two honorable mentions on here.
Mm-hmm.
And the first book we actually have up is Batman number, where'd it go? There it is.
I'm still 36.
We get Super Friends Part 1. Batman and Superman. For so many years, they've fought together for justice. Sometimes they've even fought each other.
Mm-hmm.
Now for the creators who broke your heart in The Ballad of Kite Man comes a look at how the flaws of each frightens the other and how the hope in each inspires the other. Don't miss this two-part event that everyone will be talking about as the relationship between these two men is forever changed. Art is done by Clay Mann and is written by Tom King.
Next we have Cyborg issue number 19. I don't know if this is going to be soon the last one.
There's one more after this. Number 20 is the last one.
Dang. Well, Wretched of Earth, Part 1.
Exploratory.
Thank you. Exploratory scientific mission in Africa, Cyborg encounters an ancient African djinn who grants his heart's desire, but when he's a local warlord says claim in an ancient and terrible powerful as well, Victor discovers that magic has dangerous consequences and never expected.
That he never expected. Yeah.
Man, I cannot speak right now. Art is done by Will Connard and written by Kevin Griffix with the X?
Grivo?
Grivo? Okay.
I think it's French.
See, I don't speak French.
Neither do I. I don't even speak good English. Next up, we get Deathstroke number 26.
Oh, shoot.
Wow. The Fall of Slade, Part 1. Finally convinced that their leader is missing, Team Defiance begins the search for Deathstroke, only to discover his situation is even more dire than expected. Meanwhile, Deathstroke, after being kidnapped by the Secret Society of Supervillains, finds his past catching up with him when his former friend and ally, Dr. Icon, confronts the repentant killer while repressing his own uncontrollable rage. Art is done by Jason Paz and Diogenes Neves, and it's written by Christopher Priest.
It looks like they're still in Defiance for a while. Oh, I like this cover. That's issue 27, the one after that. Love me, Terra.
Yeah?
That's pretty cool. Weird, but cool. The next one is Green Arrow, issue number 35. Trial of Two Cities, part 3. Green Arrow Treasure Hunter. Oliver must race to recover the sunken treasure of the Ninth Circle with his enemies hot on his trail. But the true threat might be one he never sees coming. Art is done by Juan Ferreira and written by Benjamin Percy.
Okay. Then we get into Green Lanterns, number 36. Oh, Bofunga, where art thou? Part 2. Simon and Jess try to bring Bofunga back to his old foe, Mogo, but come face-to-face with Singularity Jane, whose kiss can kill. She's here to make Bofunga pay his debts, and she plans to devour anyone who stands in her way. Art is done by Ronan Cleek, and it's written by Tim Seeley. This is Tim Seeley just started on this book.
Yeah, I was looking at the art on there. It looks
there's a couple people that are changing.
Yeah, they've been doing that for a while now. This next one is Justice League issue number 24, Lost Part 1. When the Justice League is confronted by three concurrent threats as a sleep-deprived Batman, which is not surprising, makes a critical error that causes the unthinkable. Now that's different.
Mm-hmm.
As potentially unforgivable tragedy. Legendary Eisner Award-nominated writer Christopher Priest, Deathstroke, is joined by artist Pete Woods for a brand-new must-read Justice League story like you've never seen before. So this is the one where...
So, yeah, this is... Over. Yeah. Christopher Priest must be taking over for now.
Yeah, as we said, art's done by
Pete Woods. I'm still wondering if Christopher Priest has this storyline. I'm wondering if they'd... I would not be surprised if they handed this over to what's his name?
Why can't we think of the guy?
Oh.
The old Marvel guy, new DC guy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Brian Michael Bendis.
Thank you. Jeez.
I would not be surprised if they handed this over to Brian Michael Bendis.
Probably six-part storyline.
Yeah. Well, next up, we get Nightwing number 34. Raptor's Revenge Finale. With Nightwing injured, Raptor attempts to turn the citizens of Bloodhaven into monsters. It will take even everything Nightwing has to stop Raptor. Will his rocky alliance with Blockbuster stand long enough to take down Raptor? Or will Nightwing be forced to take down his two greatest foes alone? Art is done by Javier Fernandez, and it's written by Tim Seeley. And then the last book for this week
is Superman issue number 36, Imperius Lex Finale.
This is interesting. There's only 8 books this week.
Yeah.
But I know we do have 2 brand new books coming up that are actually full on series, not just minis.
Yeah,
because Damage is coming this month.
You have Black Lightning issue number 2 coming out. And,
well, no,
that's
minis. Those are mini series.
Right.
No, we have this month.
Oh yeah.
Later on,
right,
we got 2 brand new series that are coming. So they're canceling 3 in January. We got the Immortal Men.
It really take me
and back. Damage, yeah, both coming this week, or this month.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to get
But go ahead with Superman.
Superman issue number 36, Imperius Lex Finale. Volts begin to be cast to Krypton's blood as Apocalypse hordes, a hellish residents choose a new leader to occupy Darkseid's throne. The Man of Steel finds himself caught in a violent, demonic battle.
Democratic battle.
With Lex Luthor leading the race for godhood. That's an interesting one.
This has been a very... I've liked this story, the whole Apocalypse story that they're running right now.
Doesn't this kind of remind you of what's happening in Doomsday War? Was that Darkseid War?
I've still not read Darkseid War. I need to.
It's similar because Lex Luthor was trying to take over Apocalypse.
Well, I believe this is the...
Wait, is this a continuation of that?
That's why when they went back, remember, the Doomsday War led into Rebirth.
Yeah.
This is the first time to be able to pick up that story and bring it back.
That makes sense. I'm getting what's been happening.
That's
in
why,
Action
if you
Comics
notice, everything that's happening. Yeah, everything
yeah, I got
that's
confused
here
because Action Comics was a little different. I'm like, Lex Luthor was on Earth.
They brought him back, and all of a sudden, they wanted him as Superman.
Yeah, that's right.
Because they thought he was. Remember?
Yeah. Okay. And the art's done by Jamie Mendoza, Doug Mankey, and written by Patrick Gleason and Peter J. Tomasi.
Okay. Next up,
these are
now we actually have 2 honorable mentions for this. And the first one is one that this one was a blast last year.
Oh, yeah. This was so much better than the Halloween issue we got this year.
We have the DC Universe Holiday Special 2017, number 1, which is funny that they always put numbers on these things, even though it's only going to have 1 minute.
Exactly.
Issue.
Now, I thought this would be part 2 since they did something last year with Rebirth, but this is 2017, oh well.
So we have DC Comics' finest talents have assembled to bring you a holiday special like you've never seen before. Join Superman, Wonder Woman, and The Flash as they deliver powerful messages of hope, like only the world's greatest superheroes can. Plus, Sergeant Rock fights the Nazis on Hanukkah. Hey, Sergeant Rock's back. That's cool.
Yeah, didn't we talk about him coming back maybe, or talk about him before too?
I don't remember. Somewhere we might have. But we get also the Teen Titans take on the literal ghost of Christmas past, and Swamp Thing battles that creeping feeling of existential dread. And don't miss the legendary Denny O'Neil's return to comics with an all-new Batman story. Now, the art is done by a whole slew of people. We got Neil Gouge, Otto Schmidt, Billiquist Evely, Raphael Albuquerque, Steve Epling, and a slew of other artists, various artists.
Yeah, just various.
The writers are Christopher Priest, Jeff Lemire, Denny O'Neil, Tom King, Greg Rucka, various other artists or writers, Joshua Williamson, and Shea Fontana.
This is a 96 page count, guys.
This is a $10 book, but it's 96 pages. This is basically a trade.
Mm-hmm. And then you have one last.
This is one you had to have on there. I know that, no matter
this
what. One.
This is going to be more money out of my pocket for December, and it's Christmas month. This is basically my Christmas gift I'm buying. This is Batman Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Part 2, issue number 1. This was taken over from what happened last year. This is the second part from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle Batman crossover. The team behind the smash hit crossover series is back to reunite the Dark Knight and the heroes in the half shell. When Donatello goes looking for his new mentor to help them improve their fighting skills, he opens a doorway to another reality, hoping to summon the Turtles, one-time ally Batman. But instead, he is sent to Gotham City and someone else comes through the open portal. It's Bane. Suddenly, there's a new gang and boss in town of New York, and he's out to unite all of the other bad guys under him. Can Donnie get back to time and bring Batman to help him and his brothers before Bane causes irreparable destruction? Co-publisher with IDW. The art is done by Freddie E. Williams II and is written by James T. Tinian IV. Well, look at that there.
Well, actually, the interesting thing is there's a variant cover on this, and the only reason I mention this is it's Kevin Eastman, who is the original artist from the Turtles back in the 80s.
Mm, okay.
He was one of the original creators of the Turtles, did the variant cover on this.
Now, this, guys, is priced at a regular normal price of $3.99, and it's a 32-page count. This is a miniseries, and last year it was a 6-issue run. This one I'm going to assume will be the same.
Probably. And that actually brings us to the end of the week and the end of the show.
Mm-hmm. We had a long one this week.
Yeah. We ran a little long, but we had a lot of stuff to cover.
We did, and I hope you guys enjoyed it out there.
Oh, I know. I enjoyed it. So, thanks for hanging out, guys. Vernon, why don't you let everybody know how they can get a hold of us?
Guys, well, first you can get us on our own website now at DCSuperpowers.com. Check us out. We have all our videos from YouTube, some of the videos from Facebook we're trying to get up there. We got our regular old podcast. You can just click the link and listen to us right there. It'll take you right there. Nowhere else to go. We do have some other websites, too. We are still on WeBeGeek.com and
well, we're on WeBeGeeksPC.com with our net. Yeah, the two network sites we're still a part of also.
But this is our personal one. You can just get us directly there and get all this stuff from everywhere. And we're going to try to incorporate putting a little bit more stuff on there as well. I had a busy week. I really couldn't get anything I wanted up there, but I plan on putting a little bit up. Ken's been working on it.
Oh, yeah.
But you can also find us on our social media websites. On Facebook, we are DC Superpowers Podcast. We are DC Superpowers Podcast on Instagram as well. And we are also on Twitter at Superpowers DC. You can find me on my personal social media at Howlin' Out Wolf on Instagram, Vernon McWayne Moore on Facebook, and Be Yellow on Twitter. And you can find my partner, Ken.
I'm at GW1Ken on Instagram and Twitter. On Facebook, I'm Ken Rose. You can also head over to YouTube. We have the DC Superpowers Podcast YouTube channel. Go over there, give us a subscription. That way you'll know anytime we put up new videos. We're planning
on
putting...
Hit that bell button. That's when you get the notifications and whenever we upload something.
That's right. We're planning on putting up... that's where you're going to get creator interviews, things like that if we go to conventions. Also, maybe some unboxing videos. Yeah. You never know what you're going to get from us.
I will say, let you guys know, we're trying the unboxing stuff right now. Cameron, my stepbrother, he's been helping me do temporary unboxing videos. We've been practicing, been messing around. So hopefully, if everything goes well for recording and the camera, we'll have more out for you for DC Superpowers.
Exactly. And actually, you didn't even know this. We bought a new camera finally.
Oh.
Well, so you're going to have some new stuff coming.
All right.
We may have to. I'll have to talk to John. But we may have to take a tour of our comic shop.
Okay.
The one where we get our
right
stuff
down the street from us, guys.
So, But remember, Super Friends, you can always email the show, DCSuperpowersPodcast@gmail.com. You can also find us on our networks at the Tangibound Network at tangiboundnetwork.com and WeebieGeeks at WeebieGeeksPC.com. And I believe that wraps up what we got for this week.
I think that's it. Yeah, we've covered really everything. So, hey, there's not much to say.
So, Vernon, thank you for hanging out this week.
You're welcome. It's always a pleasure. And hopefully you guys get to see us next week.
That's right. And Super Friends, we'll see you next week.